following is a Red Shovel Network production. The Red Shovel Network consists of The Drew Mike Show, Child of the Duff's No Bullshit News, Emma Elric's Soul of Detroit, and No Filter Sports and shit. Enjoy the following Red Shovel Network production, please.
What's poppin'? It's the DealsNadie.com studios, the Drew and Mike Show. I've actually received some email recently from, I think people that saw the story in Detroit News that Neil Rubin did, apparently have just found the show and asked about the Drew and Mike thing. And that's why I said yesterday that I'm Drew and Mike is deceased, as these people did seem to know. But we have kept the name going forward. So there's that.
Good.
Yeah. Attorney Mark, Brandon, and Zoobs also in the house. And boy, there's no shortage of things going on today. As Trump opened his campaign last night.
What? He's running?
Running for president.
Shocked.
Again. And
I thought I was watching a rerun.
Yeah, it was. It seemed a little bit like past rallies. Brandon and I were talking about this, too. I can't believe people stand in line for hours to go to a rally. Not just a Trump rally, but any rally.
Camped out overnight. Supposedly.
What? Yep. I mean, I think they need help. I can't think of anyone. Now, I might go to a Trump rally for amusement. Just as it seems like that might be a more interesting rally. Not because of the politics, but just because of they're kind of crazy. The rallies are kind of crazy. They're pretty wild.
I think I'd wait in line to see the juice.
I would not wait in line to go to a Trump rally.
Would you wait in line to see the juice?
Yeah, I would. I would. If O.J. was having a rally.
That's probably around the corner. O.J.'s going to be right around the corner having a rally.
There's one person, if he ran for office, I might go to see. But to see somebody go over talking points and see people yell. Who are the people that go to these? Are they?
They're supporters.
I tend to think, though, that a lot of them are, you know, maybe they work for the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. Or they somehow have a vested interest in the person winning, not just... I mean, they can't all just be real people that show up for this stuff.
No, I'm not going to any depressing shit like that. Too sensitive.
Is that possible? Really?
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of a festival, though, isn't it? It's in Florida, by the way, so it's not cold.
I love it, man.
But they had the one just north here in Romeo when Trump was running in, you know, the last election, and I couldn't believe how many people were lined up on Van Dyke just trying to get there into the old farm field just so they could go see him. Like, do they have an opening act? Do they have vendors there? Can you buy cotton candy?
I don't think so. But what? We had a great conversation, I thought, about who could open for Donald Trump if there was an opening act. Mm. And then on the corollary, who would open for, say, Joe Biden if he were up? And who could provide the better opener? Well, right away I thought, well, Scott Baio's the only guy that could open for Trump, so that's kind of a loser.
Oh, well, what's...
No, I know there's more. James Woods.
James Woods, yeah.
John Voight. Kevin Sorbo.
Dean Cain.
Dean Cain, Clint Eastwood, Ted Nugent, or Kid Rock.
Wait, we're forgetting the guy that... the other actor that spoke at the RNC and said he was going to run.
Like
Italian or
the
something?
Baio?
Somebody help me out.
No. He's from... He was in the soap operas...
Oh, the handsome guy. Hottie,
yeah.
The handsome guy.
Wow, you like what you see.
The nudes.
That's what everybody was
could.
Talking about.
There's Paul O'Neill. There's Johnny Damon. Bobby Knight. Jesse James, the porn star. Dana White. Stephen Baldwin.
Yeah.
Mike could. Ditka.
Antonio Sabato Jr.
Ah, yes.
He's pro-Trump?
Yeah.
He was at the RNC.
That's right.
Bobby Knight opened for Trump.
Thanks for listening to the podcast.
Oh, you said that?
Fuck. I did.
I was thinking of Sabato.
On the Democratic side, though, you've got Alyssa Milano, Bette Midler, Katy Perry, Barbara Streisand, John Cusack. Judd Apatow. By the way, I started following John Cusack again. I've already unfollowed him. He is the... Oh, my God. What is going on with John Cusack?
I have a theory. It's a shallow thought. In his profile pic, he seems like he's gained a lot of weight, at least in his face. That's what I can see.
Oh, so you think
he's mad.
He's segueing. Oh, well, yeah, he'd be mad about that.
Mad because he's fat.
Could it be that he's maybe thinks he's not going to have as many hit movies, so he wants to be a social media person like Alyssa Milano?
It's possible, yeah, right.
Because that is a gig.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so John Cusack, Judd Apatow, Chris Evans, Cher, George Takei, Ben Stiller, Alec Baldwin, Amy Schumer, Michael Moore, Jane Fonda, Joy Behar. There's a lot more.
Did you mention, I'm not going to say.
Who'd you say, Trudy?
Sarah Silverman.
I don't want to get hit with the thing. Did you mention Lena Dunham?
No.
Oh, okay. Whew.
Lena Dunham.
Oh, Dave Barr says Joan Rivers hologram.
I'm not sure who has
holograms
the,
got in the middle
sure
of
who
it.
Would have a better opener out of all those, because Kid Rock, Nuge is entertaining, Johnny Damon. I don't know, Johnny Damon is pro-Trump, really? Paul O'Neill?
Paul O'Neill, the baseball player?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm always shocked when someone comes out as supporting Trump. It just blows my mind. Yeah. Not because necessarily you can't be in favor of his policies, but it just seems like it would be, the downside would be far
worse. Like a
worse.
Publicist might say, maybe you don't want to, maybe you just want to downplay that.
Exactly.
Whatever your beliefs.
You mentioned Alyssa Milano for Biden, but just so you know, she has held off her 2020 presidential endorsement. That was an actual headline.
Oh, she is an endorsement that would get attention?
That is a real headline, that Alyssa Milano is holding off on her 2020 endorsement.
Oh, my God.
She said she's playing the field when it comes to the candidates.
To be honest with you, I really feel like I'm dating a lot of people right now. I feel like I'm playing the field and I'm dating. And once I know who's going to be right for me, then I'll make a decision.
A disaster.
She told SiriusXM's press pool guest host Ted Johnson.
Well, she could flip at least one state.
She's a total failure.
Listen to this.
What a following.
I just don't think it behooves anyone for me to come out so publicly so early. Or how about ever?
She's a basket case.
We don't know how they're going to perform the debate.
She really thinks that her endorsement matters.
She thinks it's going to hurt somebody. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, that is scary.
You know, I think she's losing the entire male audience and many of the women. Yeah.
No, there's some other things. There are a couple things we might venture out on. A Dr. Marijuana Pepsi has just gotten her doctorate. And the name is her real given birth name, Marijuana Pepsi.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Dr. Pepsi?
Yeah. Pepsi's her middle name.
Oh. So her last.
What's her last name?
Van Dyck.
Oh, okay.
Is that what it was, Trudy? We were talking about it earlier. Trudy's so trying to say it's pronounced Van Dyke, but we all know.
I suggested her last name should be Dr. Cheeseburger.
Marijuana Pepsi Cheeseburger.
Marijuana Pepsi Cheeseburger. Perfect.
That is nice.
Yeah.
She should change it. Well, maybe
good symmetry.
Maybe we can suggest that. Then there's somebody who's seen Avengers 116 times and possibly a couple more since we saw the story. Now, that movie's only been out since April 26th. And that would make, if you dial up 3 hours per viewing, that's 14 days of Avengers since April 26th. Now, these may not sound like the most fascinating calls, but, you know, there's so much madness going on. Some days I say, God, all we do is talk about stupid people. I'm so tired about talking. So we try to find something light, something lighter than just dumb people all the time, because I feel like we live in an age of social justice warriors, tattletales, and trolls.
True.
I mean, those three categories really define a lot of what we read about, hear about. And I find it wearying.
I know.
So, you know, occasionally we venture out, and I saw some people complaining about our call to the 85-year-old former clergyman porn star.
What?
I know some people are saying they fast forwarded
through it. Possibly complain about that?
And I felt I just have to point out that, you know, sometimes we just need to get away from all the crap that's really going on and get into something a little more outside the box.
Whimsical.
Yeah.
There was a lot of penis that day. maybe too much penis. And barely. Yes.
Well, he wasn't my favorite interview, I will say.
He was not a good interview.
You couldn't get him to answer a question.
Yeah.
So it was frustrating. Anyway, so maybe Marijuana Pepsi, Dr. Marijuana Pepsi, cheeseburger, or the Avengers guy will prove to be worth calling. I don't know, but we have to try. And I'm hoping we can get Gary Graff on tomorrow and talk about some music.
Sure.
Facebook Live, we are there. I see a lot of people commenting already. Trudy's hot.
Hey, all right.
Facebook brought to you by Mesa Tacos and Tequilas. And the patio is open in full effect at Mesa Tacos and Tequila. I see the numbers are good lately because when it gets warm, Mesa gets crazy. Enjoy the warm sunshine and check out Mesa's $7.99 summer lunch specials being served daily starting now, plus bottomless chips and salsa. When I got my
fajitas, they always include chips and salsa in the carryout. Oh, man, I love the salsa and the chips.
The salsa is really good.
Oh, anyway, that can go with your fresh-squeezed margaritas and the 150 tequilas they have, the most in the state, and the 35-foot screen, which is awesome. Brandon, what are people calling in?
Yeah, well, yeah, you got to call.
Is it personal hotline. Or business?
No. Judging by the area code, it might have been someone we tried calling.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe he was doing a private interview.
I think he is now.
Seems like it, yeah. Today, also, before we get into the first subject, which I think is some incredible audio, an incredible story, really, about Bella Thorne. Today is Juneteenth.
Is it?
Yeah, it was trending on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw that, but why is it Juneteenth? Because...
Juneteenth is...
Sorry, I didn't get you guys anything for Juneteenth.
Yeah.
Came up so quick. I don't even know what Juneteenth is.
It's the 19th?
It's June 19th.
Why wouldn't it be the 16th or the 17th or any other teenth?
That's a very good question.
What is it for?
19th. Well, it's kind of arbitrary.
Juneteenth, to me, is the event that was mentioned when the preacher in Clio had backwards... Nazi signs painted on his car and also the N-word and some other things. And he said it was because it was June 19th that someone decided to deface his car with racist slogans and other items. And we were iffy about that because we didn't think people knew what Juneteenth was. But he said because of the red ribbon that was around his mirror, he felt that was the person indicating Juneteenth.
I mean, so what are the, you know, what are the traditions of Juneteenth?
I don't even know what Juneteenth is. I just remember we looked it up that day, and I just know it's something. It has to do with slavery.
Oh, okay. It's the oldest known celebration commemorating the end of slavery in the United States, dating back to 1865.
So that was on June 19th, I guess.
Right.
And
okay.
I mean, it's horrible to me that the learning what this term meant coincided with questioning pretty heavily the story that his car was vandalized with racist slogans on Juneteenth. Because I don't know, I remember talking about it and getting a lot of feedback. People said, nobody knows what Juneteenth is.
Oh.
It almost seemed like he was building too big a story.
Right, too many details.
And then we also learned, and we interviewed him that day, that he had opened a GoFundMe.
Should we call him back and find out whatever happened?
Yeah. I was informed by a detective that no one had been arrested.
Oh.
I thought we did follow up, and the last we knew, he had gotten his car taken care of for like $600. However, he raised, I think, $6,000?
I think it was more than $6,000.
Oh.
Yeah, there were two GoFundMes, and I think, well, look it up. So you might be right, Brandon.
What did they write regarding Juneteenth?
It seemed that he had come out ahead in the deal with the GoFundMes.
A Nazi symbol.
Backwards Nazi symbols.
They just wrote Juneteenth?
No, they put a... thanks for listening to the podcast.
Well, I was talking to Brandon about who called in.
They put a...
Sorry. I know. That's the third time today. I'm
interpreting that the backward Nazi symbol was a reaction to his Juneteenth ribbon.
Yeah, he had a red ribbon, which signifies Juneteenth somehow. But no one knows that but him and three other people. So,
Especially in Clio. You wouldn't think that would be a big deal in Clio.
I don't know. We were talking about Clio and... You guys were saying that Clio is, I guess, a pretty rough area. I learned so much about Juneteenth and Clio and things like that in the course of this story.
Yeah.
And some people were very defensive about Clio, by the way. They said, Clio is not a racist hotbed.
No, they have and that cannabis cup there every year, too.
They were very suspicious of the whole thing. They were also very, the detective sounded a little suspicious, too.
Right.
But no one was arrested, so apparently somebody did. And he did make a little extra money on that deal, so I'm happy for him.
Nick on Facebook Live wrote, I didn't know they give out Juneteenth ribbons. It's really funny.
Reparations were also being discussed today. Maybe we can talk about that a little later. AOC declaring the border a concentration camp. There's a lot of politics in the news. But I think as far as breaking news, there are more important things. And I do want to get to Bella Thorne. I think that is a good kickoff for the show today. Keith Raniere was found guilty. The NXIVM, perhaps the most brilliant person in the world, was found guilty on all charges.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
All right, go ahead.
Was that the breaking news?
You said there was a bunch of breaking news.
Oh, there is. There is. Rod Smart is okay. He hate me.
Oh, they found him?
They found Rod Smart.
Where was he?
He was in Charlotte somewhere.
Hmm. Wait, but no one notified me Rob Smart was missing.
Rod Smart. He was the XFL player when they were urged to use nicknames that used the nickname He Hate
I
Me.
I always liked that. I wanted his jersey.
You know, honestly, he's my most reigning memory of the XFL. Yeah.
He also played in a Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He made it to the Super Return
kicks. He spent 5 years in the NFL. He was a good running back at Western Kentucky.
But he'll always be remembered.
Yeah, the He Hate Me does tend to overshadow everything else. And his explanation, I thought, was fabulous. He said that when I beat someone, they will end up hating me. So he hate me. The people that he beat, I guess, hate him.
That's cool. Why.
Shouldn't it have been they hate me?
No, he hate me? I think it's he hate
in a team
me.
Game like that?
Should it be he hates?
I'm kind of jealous, though. That is a name that's stuck. And, you know, like...
Should that be a radio name for somebody?
I was thinking, yeah. That very
hey, he in the morning.
He hate me in the morning.
He hate me on WLLZ.
Rod Smart in the backfield. The hand is smart.
He's pretty good. Why are they calling him smart on the XFL?
No, I'm confused.
Rod Smart is accidentally a hero to everyone in Las Vegas because of three words that he put on the back of his jersey.
He hate me.
He hate me.
He hate me. Day one, game one, play one. When you say XFL, that's he hate me.
What about my hair? You say it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Shouldn't he be called hate me? Like if somebody's saying, and the ball's handed off to hate me.
The Las Vegas
outlaw. He hate me? Like, you know, Peyton takes the hand off?
Don't tinker with it because it lasted through time.
That was the stupidest nickname I've ever heard.
I can hear the fans.
Who said that?
You know, Ron Burgundy.
It sounds beautiful. It's like music to my ears. Yeah. So I'm out there excited. And the main thing I'm thinking in my mind is I got a ball.
That's a great name.
Wow.
He's good, man.
So what other names were there? Did they?
That's when I became the Chuck Wagon. Remember Chuck Wagon?
Yes.
Oh, one was Baby Boy.
Baby Boy. Well, that's what's funny. He's in like...
Should we bring out the XFL commercial? Do we have access to that? Because that, I think, may have mentioned some... No?
I mean, we can. It's going to be poor quality. But...
Okay.
Oh.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, I mean, I'm working on getting them back.
If anybody has a good copy, please let Brandon know. Brandon at DrewAndMikePodcast.com.
I'm really excited for the new XFL. I think it's going to be great.
I'm not quite that excited about it.
Why?
I'm just not. I don't know. These secondary leagues never really seem to last.
Have you seen any of the new rules they're putting forth?
No, I have not.
I'm trying to find it. Here's some new rules. You'll appreciate these, Drew. So will you, Trudy. On extra points, team can choose whether they go for a one-point conversion from the 2-yard line, a 2-point try from the 5-yard line, or a 3-pointer from the 10-yard line.
I like that. Oh,
no I'm more excited. Kicking.
I'm geeked about that.
That's pretty cool.
They're getting rid of kickers.
What happens to the kickers?
I don't know. I think they're getting rid of
save on salary.
Ooh, that wow.
To eliminate the kicker.
What, 15 bucks an hour? It's the XFL.
Kickers make more?
Well, no, if you need a guy to make the game-winning field goal, you got to have a good guy. But if you just need a guy to kick the ball off... Wait, do they have kickoffs?
I don't think they do.
Okay, so...
The XFL's overtime rules, they're being tested right now. I don't know where they're testing them.
Tested. I'd like to see that.
Each team will have 5 opportunities to convert a 2-point conversion in overtime. The defense will score 1 point with the turnover. So, like innings, you have 5 tries.
1-1...
40.
Like each team tries one, and then each team tries another.
It gets waggier.
High one, high two.
44 players will be on the field at the same time in the overtime session.
Wow.
With both teams' offenses and defenses on opposite ends of the field.
Go on simultaneously, so you only watch one of them?
Yes, that's extreme
God, that's
football.
That's mind-boggling. How high was the person that came up with that?
Hot. Games will also, they want games to have a 3-hour time limit.
Huh.
I don't know how they're going to institute that.
Yeah, I don't know how that.
It just ends.
Yeah.
Whenever.
I think by having wacky rules, they overshadow the fact that the football's not very good.
Exactly.
So if there's no kickoff at the beginning of the game, how do they begin play? Do they throw it up in the air like basketball or?
Oh, they should do a jump ball. Well, last time they did the
The two guys scramble for a fumble.
Yeah, and the guy got hurt on the very first time.
Let's check these out.
Neither team has been able to breach the goal line. They get in the red zone, put points up on the board. If you like fat people make love, this is perfect. Because we just roll around, they just can't stick it in.
The XFL is real football, featuring players with real nicknames.
Oh, he hates me. He's the most famous he hate me in the world.
He is a big star.
He's a great player.
See it, hear it, feel it, the XFL.
I talked to Terry Bowles before the game, and he and I have something in common. He collects Beanie Babies.
Yeah. You won't believe the outrageous fan interviews during the game.
Hey, are you guys having fun today?
Yeah.
Do you agree with Coach Skipper's halftime speech where he said that the Demons had him and then let him back up?
Absolutely. You got him down, keep him down.
We'll even talk to players live right after they up.
Jose, that was huge for your team to miss that field goal. Can you come back for
him? I mean, just kick it straight to the right. I'll be back.
And the XFL has the bitches.
Timeout.
Masturbate to the skankiest mic cheerleaders in sports history.
Yeah!
And only in the XFL do we open up so many microphones simultaneously, nobody knows when the they're on.
Get the Memphis card. Hey, John, I'm sorry I f***ed you on that other one.
The XFL. Giving you the most disjointed, overmodulated commentary you've only dreamed of.
Give me a motion a bunch.
You ended up telling him I really want to come back to play. What kind of player he was and he wanted. I'm posting down there. He's just looking at
it. See it, feel it, hear it. The XFL, Saturday nights on NBC and Sunday on UPN.
That's for Charlotte Motion, Sheehy, Wendell Davis, Maddox, James
Hooden,
Jimmy the Jet, Cunningham, Del McGee, Chris Kuomaku, Ma'afa.
They had some names.
Stupid.
No doubt.
You think Johnny Football is going to succeed in the XFL?
No.
No, I don't.
No.
Do you think they'll let him play?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's extreme.
Yeah. Cool. He's a name.
How come the XFL didn't accept the merger with the AFL, or whatever it's called, the AAF? And
well, because
they both suck. You just get merged two things that suck into one thing that sucks.
So, I mean, is this inevitable that the XFL is only going to have one more year again?
I don't think so. Cause,
it could go two or three.
His pockets are pretty deep.
We'll see.
McMahon's.
But his pockets were deep in 1999 as well.
But they're not spending money on stars. I think you have to have stars. I watched the, was it the AFL that was just
AAF,
ended
right?
Fast? AAF, WAF. Okay. I turned it on and I don't know any of the names. And there was nothing spectacular happening. No super speedy guys, no long completions. It was just like a bunch of hacks playing football. And pretending it was important.
There weren't anybody from college that you remembered? Like, that guy was great at Baylor or something?
Not in that game. There weren't.
Where'd they get their players from then?
What's that?
Where'd they get their players from if not from colleges?
Scrap heap. Well, they didn't have time. That was the other thing, too. Remember, they rushed it?
Yeah.
So the play, now they're giving themselves an extra year. Their TV rights deal is really weird, too. No cash is transferring between the league and the TV deal. Which is really an interesting way to do it.
I'd rather wait until this hits us. I just speculating on the XFL seems like it just doesn't seem like the best time spent to me.
I'm pumped for the overtime.
You want to hear the second promo?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
I want to hear number one again.
XFL.
The confrontation that you had last week with Rusty Tillman has got everybody talking.
If you think the XFL is dead, talk to one of the 349 people who watched it last week on NBC. These people love the XFL. Maybe it's the league's fledging superstars.
Al Luganville, Pervy Dardar, and Butler by Note, Sola Davis, Rashawn Sheehy, Latario Rochelle, Twabi Settles, Anthony DeCosmo, Leo Aragus.
Maybe it's because we change the rules when we f***ing feel like it.
There is no bump and run rule. It's been removed.
Maybe it's the crazy-ass nicknames.
It ain't when I got the ball, I became the Tuck Wagon.
Or maybe it's the ballsy commentary from players during the game.
Yeah, we need instant replay in the XFL because they can't see. Period.
And only in the XFL will you find players that will say hi to female genitalia during the game.
What's up, Boosie?
And speaking of, this week the XFL mics the cheerleaders' crotches, and you might even see some of that stuff.
Are we really going into the cheerleader locker room next week down in Orlando?
Don't miss it. Football and pussy on the XFL.
A lot of courage. We'll get into the Joe Aska story as this game progresses. And he's popping.
Oh, how did it fail?
Where do you suppose that guy is?
Joe Aska?
No, the agency that produced that, with the guy with the voice.
I don't know
what he's doing now.
Good question. Probably working up some new spots. But the audio was spectacular. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there was a lot that they had to eliminate before they came up with that. So anyway, the Bella Thorne thing is so upsetting. I've never heard anyone cry so hard, and I want to get to that in a second. What happened was Bella, we talked about it. She had some nude pictures that she'd sent a boyfriend, and she got hacked, and she felt that they were going to put them out. They were trying to extort from her, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So she put them out herself. So,
good thinking.
And they were beautiful. Yeah. I mean, her pictures were fantastic.
Hmm.
Whoopi Goldberg on The View said, and they discussed this, and they all, by the way, said she looked fantastic. I don't know why she's upset about it, to be honest. Whoopi Goldberg said that, if you don't want your pictures appearing publicly without your permission, then you shouldn't take any. You shouldn't have them in your phone.
Wow, how retro.
I thought it was so obvious. I mean, I'm not even going to call it brilliant because it's so painfully obvious. If you take a nude picture in your phone, especially if you're a known, well, if you're a hot chick, I mean, immediately you've got a problem. If you're a hot chick and you're known to people, especially on her level, I think the danger is pretty significant. I thought it was pretty basic, solid advice.
That's kind of blaming her, though. So all the pictures on my phone, I should expect if someone wanted them, they should see them?
I don't think your phone is not the same as Bella Thorne's phone. Bella Thorne is very hot. She's taking nude pictures, and people want to steal them and hack them. And Whoopi wasn't saying she did something wrong. She was saying, if you're worried about your pictures, if your phone being hacked, then you shouldn't have nude pictures in your phone. She wasn't saying she did anything wrong. She's saying that if it bothers her, I agree with Whoopi Goldberg 100%.
Really?
I really do.
So
I don't know. What do you think,
ever.
Brandon?
There's no expectation of privacy on your phone?
I don't think so. No. Now, if it worries you, if you're concerned about your phone being hacked, I would never have a new
And that's
picture.
The thing with what Whoopi's saying. When you take these photos, nowadays they go right to the cloud. The cloud is extremely hackable. We saw the fappening. How many women did we see their nudes just boom, leaked all over the web? So basically what Whoopi is saying is, you know, if you want to really truly combat this, you just don't take the pictures and upload them to the cloud. Hmm. And I mean, Joy Behar said, yeah, you should take a picture and frame it.
Well, that was, I actually laughed when she said that.
It was a good line.
I think she was being funny. And Joy Behar can be funny. Mm-hmm. It gets a little serious on that show, a little intense.
Actually,
there was a lot of clucking going on.
Well, this was a conversation where I actually enjoyed on The View because
I did too.
They're yelling at each other, and this time they're just kind of having a decent conversation. No one's yelling at Meghan McCain.
I have to tell you, I can't even fathom why this girl is upset. I really don't get it at all, but I want to listen to her response. She's more than a little upset. I would think she'd be more upset about having to put her nude pictures out there than about somebody suggesting that you not put. I would think that would be her advice to anybody. Hey, if you don't want your picture out there, don't take it. Don't have it in your phone because somebody's. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think people can expect privacy. Not her anyway.
Oh.
Not a female star.
Not if it's worth any kind of money.
I think you should be able to have an expectation of privacy, but I don't think you can. And I just thought she was trying to be nice. I don't think Whoopi Goldberg was shaming her at all. But we'll listen to both Whoopi's comment and her comment. It gets quite dramatic. Meanwhile, our beloved studio sponsors and friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInAD.com are in the middle of their Jeep celebration event, and they're excited for you to be a part of it. During Zot Jeep's celebration event, lease a new 19 Jeep Compass Limited at $188 a month. You can also lease a new 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee for just $277 a month. Or if you fancy yourself more of a Ram truck type, how about leasing a new 19 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 as low as $169 a month? Maybe that's what everybody's doing because Maz says that the audience has turned on him, that no one is calling about cars, no one is emailing.
What?
He's only sold two cars this month. Now, he did miss the first over a week because his kids were having issues.
Yeah, he called in and said this.
I don't know what I'm doing and everybody hates.
Yeah.
What about Gary? Is he selling anything?
I don't know what how Gary's doing. That's a great question. I'm going to inquire about that.
Yeah.
I love you, Gary!
Because it's weird that he would sell 13 cars last month and then everyone would abandon him at once. I mean, it's almost like there's a conspiracy. Is there something going on in social media we don't know about?
Is this an economic indicator?
It could be.
This is the start of a recession.
He's moved over 300 vehicles at Zot Ford.
Wow.
It seems odd to me that everyone would just cut him off. Now, he said this before in January. He said, everything's dead. Nobody wants to buy a car from me anymore.
Fuck you, Tom.
And since then, I think he's sold.
Should he expand outside of this audience?
Well, that's one criticism from some of his superiors, that he seems to be happy to sell cars to people who come in of their own volition. But he seems very limited in terms of seeking out other business.
Wow.
It seems to be, I don't want to use the word lazy, but the word may have been used. I don't know, but I would be really
fuck you up.
I would be really sad to hear that everyone has just given up on him. Now, again, he did say it in January, and since January, he's probably sold 75, 80 cars. So he
Gary's
may have been off.
Okay.
Yeah, I hope Gary's okay, too. I hope he's not affected. I don't think Gary counts on our audience to provide his family with
tools. Should we call Gary?
We might. If we have time, maybe we'll squeeze Gary in. As you can see, Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off this hot summer with a bang. And by the way, if there is a conspiracy against Maz, it would be delightful if you'd go to Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. If you refuse to go to Zot Ford, or don't refuse, just go to Gary. If there's a conspiracy against Maz, let's puff Gary's numbers up. So that's very important to the show. LASIK is one of the safest surgeries in all of medicine. Dr. Yaldo does it, and he's done it to many people, too. He's a loyal Heritage Red Shovel sponsor. He's number one in Michigan. He's on all our shows. He's done surgery for 30,000 people, and with the CATS Custom LASIK, most patients get better than 20/20 vision. It's called supernormal vision. It takes only a few minutes. It's painless. You can throw all the contacts and glasses in the garbage. The multifocal lens implants for people 45+ frees you from your hated reading glasses, gives you vision, far vision, precise far vision, and will prevent cataracts from ever forming. You have nothing to lose seeing Dr. Yaldo for a free evaluation. I would love it if people would start going in there for frames, too. If you're absolutely not interested in LASIK, go in and check out the frames. They've got cool frames. They've got sunglasses, too. Tell them Drew and Mike sent you for an additional discount. Call 800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. We got any feedback on for him?
Well, kind of.
Well...
The code we gave out.
Sound good so far.
Well, the code they gave us was /Drew, forhims.com/Drew. Little did we know that that's also Dr. Drew's password. So we contacted him to say, hey, you know, can we get a different password? And we're supposed to get one by tomorrow.
But we did get a lot of people Dr. Drew is getting all that extra business.
We talked to him, and they claim that they know.
They weren't aware that they did business with Dr. Drew?
Well, we got emails and
we have to tell them that?
Messages from it. So people have responded. They just said, hey, just so you know, every time I log in, it does say Dr. Drew. So there are audience members trying to get that done.
Yeah, and they claim
that glass-cutting boner.
They claim they can find out who comes from where.
Really?
Huh. Okay.
Well, they said it's not simply about, you know, X's and O's and purchases made and response. Yeah, which I kind of believe that to a certain extent.
Well, I'm happy to go by our response. I keep saying, why can't we get advertisers that don't care if people mention us or don't care if they come in? People that just want brand recognition. You know, like, wouldn't it be great if somebody said, we just want you to get our name out there?
If you got to get that boner really soon and you want to go to 4Hims, which you should do, you know, talk to the doctor, see what they say. Just wait till we get the new code. Give that boner.
Careful. Your boner.
Well, I hate to tell people not to do it. I mean, just do
Just wait till we get the new code.
It would be nice, but how long is it going to take to get the new code? I mean, they didn't know that Dr. Drew was an advertiser?
We should have it.
It sounds super hard.
I think they would know that. But, okay. Either way,
boners last for more than 4 hours, call more ladies.
Well, I mean, I don't know what you want people to do, though. That's, the, you know.
If they know.
Just lay a ding-a-ling on a popsicle stick and put a couple rubber bands around it, and you can say, you know, sorry, it's not like the old days, but it's going to have to do, you know.
If they know they're from us, if they can tell. Yeah. I mean, I would think they could tell. They're probably from Michigan.
Yeah. If you need to get an erection sooner, just go ahead and do it now.
You know, there's erections that men get in the morning just because they have to pee.
Here's what you do. You go in your backyard, You lay face down and stick your ding dong through your hammock. You call your wife out and you say, hey, I think there's something interesting under this hammock. Dot, dot, dot. Soak it in salt water and see if it plumps up.
But it's super easy, too. You just fill out a questionnaire.
This is great advice. That audio was sent to us by for him, mm-hmm. by the way.
Soak it in salt water and see if it plumps up.
That's not.
Jeez, I got a little chub.
That's not what the doctor will say when you consult with him. I don't think. I mean,
soak it in salt water might. And see if it plumps up.
He won't say that.
I think it's from the public relations department for him.
He might actually. Say this, though.
You're the one with the skinny dingling?
Anyway, it apparently is working out nicely. They just got a free ad, too.
Yeah.
They're not paying for that. I think they should.
Like
should
my direction selection?
It's kind of genius of them, though.
Maybe they did it on purpose. Maybe everyone gets the promo ad. Code that belongs to someone else, so they get a corrective ad. Oh, man.
Brilliant.
Is it for hims or for him?
Forhims.com.
F-O-R.
/Drew if you want to help Dr. Drew out.
Okay.
Why does Dr. Drew need help? He's got about 14 shows.
No, Dr. Drew, can't he coach someone overhead. Into getting a boner? Does he really need to send people to for him?
He's still paying off his medical. That's cool.
I wonder what Dr. Drew charges for a commercial.
That show well, it's all based way on up the CPM, so.
I know, but he's had several different co-hosts, including Adam Carolla. That's probably the most famous. But for a while there, he had Mike Catherwood. So it was Dr. Drew and Mike.
Oh, my God. He's following you.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it comes up when I put our name in on the.
He's stealing your thunder.
It's kind of bogue. Yeah, it was Drew and Mike before Dr. Drew and Mike.
Yeah, but he can write prescriptions. So.
That's true. I respect him for that. There've been a lot of articles on podcasting lately. There was a big one today about the conflict between the money that's pouring into podcasts and the original intent of podcasting. Because the feeling about podcasts was that anyone can have a big podcast. Anyone can grow an audience. And now that all this money is poured in, because Gimlet spent so much money, and there's other Wrong. People like Spotify who are putting together these networks and putting money behind podcasts, that, hey, it's getting corporate. Well, let's get it to corporate.
That's America.
That's right.
I mean, look at weed. When weed is finally federally legal everywhere, it's not going to be the small growers that win. It's going to be the big, you know, Philip Morris's that decide to buy them all up.
I think it's like when
You have money, that's when you make money.
And then weed will suck, too, by the way, I bet.
It'll still be weed, though, Trudy.
If you remember when everyone started liking R.E.M. and U2 and The Clash and people like that, saying, well, I like it better when nobody knew them. Well, it's really, it's not bad. I mean, we've got there's a taco shop moving in next door to Mesa.
What?
I know. And thanks to the Martinez? Alert listener. I don't even want to mention their name, but one of our alert listeners happens to be painting this place, and he's angry about it.
They paint a penis?
Wait. Not really angry. He's actually happy to have the business. But he thought it was kind of weird. How come this place is opening right next to Mesa? Well, the feeling is that if people are in Royal Oak, it's good to have restaurants on our side of the street that are busy.
Yeah.
So it just brings. If you remember when Monterey was there, and
yeah, you guys already buried one place, you can bury another.
Well, hopefully they'll bring business to that side of the street.
All right, Pete, Cantina Diablos, now get out of here.
What about those zoning? Wouldn't they go, hey, there's already a Mexican restaurant. Maybe you should be a different kind of restaurant.
Well, they like to keep downtown popping. They don't.
It's America. You decide what you want to put.
Well, ask Matt. Matt's on the DDA. So,
he apparently lettuce.
He wasn't worried about it at all. He said, hey, if they do well, it helps everybody. So
I was texting with Steve to get Gary's number. So if you want to call Gary, we can. But he also decided, because I was explaining why we wanted Gary's number, and Steve wrote, Maz has only worked 3 of 19 days this month. He's dry, and he's costing me money.
He's worked 3 of 19 days?
That's according to Steve. And I said, can I mention that? And he wrote, 1,000%.
Wait, so he worked Monday, Tuesday, and today?
He said,
now, why don't you calm down,
I don't know.
Can you ask him to re-verify the 3 out of 19 days?
Okay, I'll see.
Drew. Seems like a lot of time.
Thank you, Steve.
Did he work on Juneteenth, like today?
He's working on Juneteenth. Yes.
That's important.
Well, he's got to be home to...
Surprise, it's not a holiday.
He's got to be home to oversee the pool getting put in.
3 days? Wait, now, doesn't it seem... If he's only worked 3 days, doesn't it seem like that illnesses were milked a little bit? I mean,
wait, that's 2 cars every 3 days.
No.
That's not bad.
Abby was really sick.
Yes, that was usually very, very sick. Serious.
But it was
Abby.
It really was like a 4-day thing. I don't know why. Yeah.
But then Lily, it was back to back. She got her. But
they did kind of overlap, and it didn't take 16 days.
Lily.
I don't think it was a 16. I'm just saying. Anyway, we'll see if we can get verification on that, because I think Steve might be exaggerating a bit. But let's check on Bella Thorne.
He's writing back.
Yeah, the three dots.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Isn't that funny?
And it's going on forever.
You know what I've noticed when I get in a dispute with anybody, or even something needs clarification? Sometimes I see this where I'm like, but what about blah, 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 blah? And then I see the three dots, you know, and they're there for about, I don't know, 5-10 seconds. And then nothing. No three dots.
I know.
And it's like they're going, how am I going to respond to this?
Yeah. So you know they saw it.
Or they started something and then they thought better of it.
Yeah. It's like someone going, well, and then just standing there with their mouth agape.
come on.
So here's his reply.
And then how about the person that you're trying to get a response out of, and you see the three dots
and
then nothing. It's like, oh, I didn't get your text. It's crazy. It's like, I saw the three dots, you asshole. I saw the three dots. Oh, my wife picked up my phone. Oh, it's crazy.
Here's Steve's response. That's,
which is why sometimes when I get a response from someone and I'm like, oh, I don't want to answer. I don't want to read this. Or I want to read it, but I don't want to respond. I'm like, no, I'm not even going to read it because they'll see the three dots.
Yeah. Or they'll have a read receipt.
Yes, exactly.
But sometimes I want people to have read receipts on mine so they know that I haven't seen it yet.
No, true. But sometimes I know what's kind of there, and I just figure they don't need any three dots. I don't want to craft a response. I don't want to do anything.
So basically,
I don't want any dots showing up on this phone.
If you want to text Drew, you got to like put a bunch of benign, boring stuff so he can't see the meat of the text in the preview.
Oh, I got some smart asses in email who will subject big tubes or something.
And they'll go, really?
Just try to get your attention. Hey, could you help us with this event we're having?
Hey, come on. You almost have to at that point. It's good work by them.
Isn't it hard to ignore one, though? Can you go without looking at what that is for very long?
Big
How
tubes?
Long
does it
say
big tubes?
Well, in text messages.
Well, I'm interested in not only the big tubes, but I figure it's a joke when someone says that. So I'm kind of intrigued because I figured somebody with a sense of humor.
But if you get a text message and it lands, isn't it irresistible? Like,
I have no problem. Not
really
responding.
Hard not to look. Really?
Not that entirely irresistible for me.
Not the best at responding.
Because I kind of look at work and I feel like, God damn it, I shouldn't look because you get distracted and the other work. Sorry.
Here's Steve's response. Tom has physically been on property more. However, mentally, 3 days is a generous estimate. And his heart has not been in it for at least 90 days. Do not call me. I'll emotionally destroy him.
I'll fuck you up.
Okay. Well, that's cleared up.
Well, we can call Gary and make sure Gary's okay.
I certainly felt there was no question. I wonder if Gary could give us some perspective on whether people have literally blanked out on.
Yes, I think so, too.
No. That's a concern. We might need to change the marketing.
Son of a bitch.
But first, let's see what Whoopi Goldberg said that was so upsetting to Bella Thorne.
Actress Bella Thorne's phone was recently hacked, and blackmailers threatened to release nude photos of her if she didn't pay up. So she posted a lengthy note on Twitter about how she's taking back her power by releasing the photos herself. Is this the way to do it?
Sorry, question. Do we know for a fact that she was hacked, or did she get one of those? Because there's a lot of...
Well, that's what she said.
There's a lot of emails going around that'll be like, I have your password. I have your pictures. You know, pay us.
Spoofing. Yeah.
Well, I don't think we can know that. That's, we can only go by what she said.
That and she released the actual.
Yeah, she put the
photos
out.
Okay, that was my question. Okay, go ahead. Carry on. Okay.
Let's see. Oh. She's fully clothed here.
Yeah.
The picture behind Joy.
Wait, what did Joy expect?
Almost Bush. Or whatever. I have to be honest. If I had that body, I'd post them at the food emporium. But she says, Sunny goes. She's too young. She's 21. Exactly the age when you look the best.
It just saddens me that these kids that they have to go through this. I guess it's the age of social media, but for someone to sort of extort her and threaten her with posting these pictures, it It's terrible.
She's crawling out of her skin.
I do, Whoopi. I just feel that
if you don't put him, if you don't take him and put him in, listen, if you're famous, I don't care how old you are, you don't take nude pictures of yourself because
she only wants to share with one person.
But she should listen. When they're hacking you, they're hacking all of your stuff. So whether it's one picture or a million pictures, once you take that picture,
yeah,
it goes into the cloud and it's available to any hacker who wants it. And if you don't know that in 2019, that this is an issue, you, I'm sorry, your age does not, you don't get to do that.
But why not?
You don't get to do it.
Why not just make a hard copy and put it in a frame and send it? Why does it have to be out there like that?
The problem with the hard copy, yeah, is that the person who has made the picture appear on your thing, yeah, also has a copy.
But she's so not to blame. The guy that's very trying to extort her.
Yes,
this is very, very common.
Yes.
It's very common for people to take nude photos.
Yes.
It's very common to receive them. Back when I was dating, I used to get it all the time.
Right.
I will say, Rihanna said in 2009, leaked photos. She said, they were from my boyfriend at the time. Uh-huh. If you don't send your boyfriend naked pictures, then I feel bad for him. Now, I will say, I never did anything like
that again.
You pause for a second.
You don't send your boyfriend.
Is Rihanna serious about this? She feels sorry for her boyfriend because she can't send him nude photos because she's worried about being hacked. Isn't that what she's saying?
Oh, really?
That's what Rihanna had said when her nudes were out, I guess.
Okay.
You know what? That's a good thing to say, though, because you're like, the guy's like, hey, send me your nude pictures. No, I can't do it because I don't want to get hacked. And then she releases that she feels sorry for him, which makes her sound sympathetic.
I think she sent him anyway.
He's seen her nude body.
I mean, she got her pictures have been out there.
We've seen Rihanna nude.
I didn't feel like these people even cared. In fact, I'll go a step further than Whoopi Goldberg. I would say, if you don't want people looking at your nude photo, I wouldn't send them to a boyfriend. Because look at these scumbag high school kids who set up these private accounts where they all send their nudes from their girlfriends.
Right.
And then that football team were the only ones that had access until the one of the football players told his sister or something and she spilled it. I mean, really, can you send a photograph, nude photograph to a boyfriend and feel confident? I would think, honestly, that there's an understanding that, of course, you're not going to violate that. But, oh, my God, it seems like it's no big deal now, doesn't it?
Well, when it was Snapchat, it was like, oh, we found a loophole because these pictures, they delete after, you know, a certain amount of seconds. However, then you had people taking pictures of the Snapchat, pictures of the phone.
Right, they get screenshots.
They'd take screenshots.
And they put them out.
Plus, Snapchat saved them all, so that's fun.
Well, that's right. That's another thing, is Snapchat technically owns that photo now.
But so this is different. I mean, this is being stolen from you.
Yeah. But they get stolen all the time. I'm just saying, not only would I, if I were Whoopi Goldberg, if she says if you're famous, I would say if you're anyone, if you're attractive and you're taking a nude picture, I'd be worried about revenge porn.
Stupid.
I'd be worried about a boyfriend that doesn't give a shit or he's mad at you.
It's like saying the only way to avoid a car accident is not driving. Don't drive then. I mean, you should have an expectation of privacy.
But you can't. If you're a star, there's hackers all over the place.
You just said you were going to take it further if you're anyone.
I would. I wouldn't do it because I would, while you have that bond of trust with a boyfriend or someone like that, I feel like so many people violate it that I wouldn't do it.
There's just no privacy anymore.
Nobody
should expect privacy anywhere.
I don't think you can.
Not even in your own house.
I think it's unfair. And I think, again, we're talking about a threshold here because so many people have shared nude pictures that other people go, I've seen nude pictures of other people. Why not show my girlfriend or my ex or whatever? It's terrible. I think it's just rotten as hell. But as more pictures come, I mean, I feel like, if there's anyone new in the world who's hot, I feel like I'm going to probably see him nude. I don't know when. I mean,
usually it's by choice, though.
Yeah, usually, but sometimes it isn't. It just seems like it's so sloppy and there's so little trust involved. And people, when it comes to social media, there's no trust. No one trusts you. I mean, I wouldn't trust anyone. No.
Well, social media is different, though. That's public. You're putting it out there.
Maybe that's where the Kardashians really have it all completely together because they just put nude pictures out every day. No one will ever surprise them with a nude.
It seems like the feeling, too, is that it doesn't hurt anyone if a nude photo's out there. Who cares? Everybody's nude.
Yeah, well.
But that's just me. I would just say that. I'm sure that there's a bazillion 17-year-olds sending nude pictures to their boyfriend lovingly and wanting to get him excited and all that. And they have no idea that this guy's an asshole. And when they break up, he'll go, that fucking bitch, check her out. Look at this. A lot of people do that. That's why I wouldn't do it. But it just seems like in today's world, it's just going to happen.
Well, did you think that Whoopi's words were an attack on
Bella? Not at all. Well, I thought they were very complimentary about her pictures, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bella didn't take it that way. She has responded with her own video.
Okay.
She's quite
upset. I'm curious to hear her response.
I want to say that I feel pretty disgusting. You know, I feel pretty disgusting, Whoopi, knowing everyone's seen, like, you know, my shit. And I just want to say that me watching this interview made me feel really bad about myself. And I hope you're happy. I really do. I really hope you're so fucking happy, because I can only imagine all of the kids who have their shit released and then they commit suicide. And, you know, you're so crazy for thinking such terrible things on such an awful situation. Like, you know, I don't really want to go on The View anymore, because I don't really want to be beaten down by a bunch of older women for my body and my sexuality. I don't really feel like that. And so I'm going to cancel my interview because...
Who beat her down?
I don't know.
I honestly, I don't know what she's talking about.
By the way, Bella, you could be ugly, so why don't... I mean...
I thought the... As far as her pictures, there was nothing but praise. She's gorgeous.
Yeah, she's...
I think she's responding to the fact that they're saying in 2019, you know, this can happen very easily. So if you don't want it to happen, you shouldn't send the pictures. Yeah. I don't know why she feels that. I mean, it's a very public story. Anyway, let's hear the rest of her.
I don't really want you guys talking about your views to young girls, because I would not want my daughter to learn that, and I would never say that to her.
Well, okay. Then her pictures will get out there.
Shame on you, Whoopi. Shame on you, and shame on you for putting that public opinion just out there like that, for every young girl to think that they're disgusting for even taking a photo like that.
I don't think she said that.
If you take a sexy photo, then it basically deserves to get leaked. Like, don't be surprised at all, and don't feel sorry for yourself. So, if I go out to a party drinking,
well, keep pausing again, Brandon.
And I want.
When did she say don't feel sorry for yourself? And she's
she didn't.
Did she see something? A show that we didn't see.
She said that it can be expected when you put it on the cloud, and it can. We've seen this in the past. How many times? So, I don't know. I don't think Whoopi's wrong.
I don't know what the fuck she's talking about, but go ahead. Let's see.
When I dance on the dance floor, do I deserve to be raped, too? Because to me, I see those two things really fucking similar, okay?
Wow. Wow.
Is that it?
There might be more. This is.
I just want to say I'm pretty shocked, because, like, if I get one more message from one of my guy friends being like, "Babe, I'm so proud of you, of your dudes," and not another message from a chick, I'm going to be like, bro, where are all my girls at? Like, aren't you guys proud of me? Where are my girls at, huh? Is this the whole, like, don't support other girls thing? Is this the don't support other girls click? You fuckers.
Huh. Not really sure where that was going.
Yeah. I don't know what she's talking about. Honestly, I don't know what she's talking about. I think she's just emotional.
Yes.
She's overly emotional. Mm. I would almost say hysterical. But I know how that gets taken.
Oh, yeah. That's a bad word.
No, you can't say a woman's hysterical. I know. Can't say you want to change gears, or you're willing to change gears either.
I don't.
You're
get that
sexist. That's horrible.
Do not get
that. Okay, so she's really not very happy.
Aw.
But we could venture further into this topic, because there's, oh my God, the Me Too activity. Holy crap. First, Keith Raniere found guilty. That thing is mind-boggling. And in the story, Brandon and I were looking at it upstairs at the same time, and it was mentioned in the story that Richard Branson was a member of NXIVM.
I don't think he was a member. I think he was a supporter. So he was never officially a member, but he did write a signature kind of saying, hey, Keith Raniere is a great guy, and he's got good things going on with NXIVM.
Roger Stone also.
Kind of a corporate type of... endorsement.
But now he says he didn't say that? What did he say today?
Well, no, he didn't say that. No. When Keith Raniere first started getting in trouble and people started saying, hey, Richard Branson, you endorsed him. Richard Branson came out and said, I don't know the guy. I never met the guy. So it must be something that Branson and other heads of corporations do for you know, smaller companies, whether it's endorsed.
So he's not backing off and saying, I thought he was suggesting that there was less to this than.
I don't think Richard Branson wants anything to do with it.
I'm sure he doesn't. Roger Stone supposedly was a supporter, too. I don't know what that means. I mean, a lot of people got sucked in by this guy. 17,000 members. I didn't realize there were that many members.
NXIVM did hold an event on an island owned by Richard Branson. So that's probably what it is. They threw him a bone. He threw him a bone back.
That makes sense.
This guy, the amazing thing, the sex part is just so commonplace with cults that it doesn't even really surprise me all that much. Although I was watching a story about Doe's cult.
Oh, Doe.
Doe and T. Remember Doe and T?
Yeah.
Heaven's Gate,
yeah. They all committed mass suicide.
And
39
goofy
people.
Tennis shoes.
Yeah, phenyl barbital.
Were they wearing Nikes or Adidas? I couldn't remember.
Nikes, black Nikes.
Yeah, and warm-up suits.
You know they destroyed that house? They had to bulldoze that house?
Probably a good idea.
What? It was a beautiful home.
It was a nice home. But it was weird to me. That's
goddamn shoes.
I tell you what, if you see any of the stories on cults on ID, I sound like I work for ID. That story was really weird because they were demanding vows of celibacy in Heaven's
Gate. So nobody
was
getting on with
anybody? No sex whatsoever. And one guy had to quit because he was masturbating.
What?
Yeah. Wow. He had to leave the cult because he's pounding off.
Boring.
Wait, how did they find out?
I think he admitted it. He felt really bad.
Oh, really?
And why would you confess to that?
I don't know. I think he felt guilty.
He wanted
people. They heard the audio.
And the women all cut their hair and were desexualizing themselves.
Yeah.
And also, the men were, they were getting their balls cut off.
What?
Too.
Yeah, that's right, castration.
Yeah, they were castrating members.
That might be the worst cult of all the cults. Or no, man, Jonestown's pretty bad.
Yeah. One of the castrations was done by a nurse that was a member. Mm. And apparently there were some issues with the surgery.
Oh,
really? So then they started having
mess that one up.
They started having them done professionally.
Oh.
I didn't realize you can just go to a doctor and go, you know what? I want to be castrated, and
yeah,
they'll do that.
Yeah, why not?
Really?
It seems like you'd
just
want to make
everything open.
Just because a guy's in a cult, seems like you go, you know what? You might change your mind about this. I'm not doing this.
It seems like it. That's a weird elective surgery.
Yeah.
You'd kind of want them to see somebody before.
I don't think
like
you can, I don't think they freeze your balls and can put them back on either. So
they should have that. Wesley Warren should have done that with his giant testicle sack.
I couldn't remember who you were talking about. Wesley Warren.
Wasn't that his name?
I was thinking about Wesley Willis and Warren Wells of the Raiders.
Oh, you're right. It's Wesley Warren Jr.
And his testicle sack. Not scrotum, testicle sack.
Did they keep his testicle sack like in a giant jar somewhere in a museum?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wait, you'll see it anytime.
Wesley Warren?
Yeah.
Wait, they didn't castrate him. Didn't they just get the fluid out of his testicle sack?
Yeah, no, I know, but he should have
like 100 pounds of fluid in it?
Should have been castrated a long time ago.
No, he was using it as a beanbag chair.
Yeah, hoppity hop.
I'm not kidding.
I know.
He sat on it.
I think it's just the best.
The hoodie, the really orange hoodie.
He had to wear a hoodie for pants.
But he frequently referred to it as his testicle sack on My 600-Pound Life, which was very strange.
Not scrotum, not balls.
His testicle sack.
Testicle sack.
So, Keith Raniere guilty. Great.
He's nuts!
Tell me he's never getting out. Keith Raniere?
I don't know. You never know.
I never know either. You know,
He hasn't been sentenced yet either.
It is fascinating, some of these sentences. I never understand it. The girl that drove over a chick she was in a fight with on social media twice with her car and killed her, got 2 to 15 years. And I was like, 2 to 15? She ran over her with her car intentionally. And then when Elric's podcast had Michael on, the federal prosecutor.
Yeah, Michael Bellotta. Mm-hmm.
Before the show, I've been thinking over time, and I've been very influenced because a lot of people are saying this, and you hear it all the time, that, that sentence is excessive. But then when I heard him explaining, you know, when you hear two people like that talking about a subject they know so well, oh, my God, he should be put away forever.
It's interesting,
he's horrible.
Too. It's interesting, too, with Kilpatrick. They only asked for 14 to 28.
They could have sentenced him to more.
I Oh, I know.
I mean, the guidelines were significantly higher.
Because there was 26 felonies, I believe he could have faced up to life, but they decided that's too harsh. And another thing that was really interesting about that podcast was the revelation that, no, Kwame's not the only one put in bars for 28 years for this. And then they started rattling off all the other politicians, white guys.
ML's mentioned that guy before in Cleveland in particular. He got 28 days exactly.
Years.
And did less. Or years, thank you, and but did less. And that one's still going on, too, all the Macomb County stuff. We got a nice angry email about Michael Bellotta today.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You'll hear it tomorrow on the Soul of Detroit podcast.
Also in the Me Too world, the Michigan Opera Theater, the conductor, the prestigious Stephen Lord. That sounds like the name of somebody running something. Stephen Lord.
An opera guy,
And this fine arts world, which we think of as, it's so snobby, it's so over our heads, and it's so
quote-unquote gay.
It's so gracious, though. We don't think of this, but there are all kinds of shenanigans going on with the sexual harassment, and this guy was a beast.
Fucking shit.
He was harassing.
Some people would describe the opera as
gay. Fucking shit.
Not me, but some people would. God, that drop is funny. Every time I hear it, I just picture that guy looking at his paper going, gay fucking shit. What a weird thing to say. And then having to explain what he meant by that.
Yes. Which I didn't even know till 4 years later.
I didn't either.
You're watching NBC North Dakota News, your news leader in high definition.
Gay fucking shit.
Good evening, I'm Dan Chu. You may have seen our newest AJ on NBC North Dakota News, and he'll be joining the weekend news team as my co-anchor. Tell us a little bit about yourself, AJ.
Thanks, Van. I'm very excited. I graduated from West Virginia University, and I'm used to, from being from the East Coast.
Wow.
Okay, well, welcome aboard.
Great bio.
AJ.
Van, by the way, you mentioned Channel 1 in New York earlier. Yeah. I meant to tell you, that's where Van Choi works now. That girl from that.
Oh, she does.
Yeah,
okay.
She works there.
That's a prestigious. We'll bring them up in the Me Too world. Anyway, the Michigan Opera Theater guy was harassing singers, pianists, and said other conductors for over a decade.
Yeah.
They have all kinds of electronic evidence, too. Like, if you sleep with me, you'd have so many jobs. I could make or break your career if only you slept with me. Boy, I didn't realize you could say this to people and they would actually sleep with you. That's really, I just assume anyone would go, wow, you're such an asshole.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
That's a good one. When has it worked, though?
I am so good at music.
Worked for Harvey.
Harvey?
Yeah. Weinstein?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a lot of people it works.
Now,
look at these ugly guys that were hosing these hot chicks.
In the context of knowing this, he really does look like a creep now.
There he is.
Yeah.
The handsome man.
Oh, yeah. He's really creepy. And he got to bang all these chicks he had no business banging.
I love the picture, though.
Yeah, the fist underneath his chin.
With the watch showing.
They called him Maestro, too. Maestro Lord.
And this harassment was so brutal that the minute it came out, he just resigned immediately, like, oh, my God, there's no way out. I'm so fucked.
No good.
But that also pointed out that other institutions similar to that, like the Cleveland Orchestra, had similar things going on.
The New York Opera had that guy that was he was boofooing all these dudes.
I mean, wow.
And I was really pissed that the MOT president, Michigan Opera Theater president, said, we appreciate his artistic leadership, particularly the last 3 years. What the? Really? Why are you saying that?
Well, you know, he must have been good at what he did.
I know, but honestly, under those circumstances, and you know what you find out, too, about this guy? You know, he was a slob. He was doing it all over the place. He's doing it in email. Yeah. There's all this evidence, all these poor girls, and you find out that so many of these people in the fine arts world, that the institutions they were involved in, they knew about it. They knew it was going on.
Well, remember Garrison Keillor? They knew about that creep.
They knew about all these guys, but, you know, it's such a snobby world that can't be talked about.
Do they have any examples of maestro lords? I mean, other than those couple things that he said?
I'm sure there's a lot more. I don't know if it'll come out because it is the
find any
Michigan Opera Theater. They said over a dozen cases.
Did you read that other one that I gave you? Because that one's got some fine examples.
Well, yeah, it is. It is really fascinating, and I'll get to that. But Max Landis.
Oh yeah.
I am so pissed about this. This is John Landis's son.
Really?
Oh, what do you know? He's a movie maker too, just like Dad.
Yesterday, Brandon goes, "Who's Max Landis?" I went, "John Landis' son." He goes, "Who's John Landis?"
John Landis did Animal House.
Did a lot of the
tons of big movies. So this guy, first of all, it bothers me that he's doing this to women, and he was horrible. But then the fact that he's using his dad's power to nail all these chicks, that's even worse to me. It's like, at least generate your own power if you're going to just hustle chicks and harass them and stuff. But when you're using your dad's power, how fucking lame is that?
It's incredibly lame.
Good for you and your father.
Google search John Landis helicopter is the first one that comes up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. His helicopter on his set took off Vic Morrow's head.
What?
Which was the name of a punk band. Back in the day.
By the way, Morris
Head. Was the name of a band. I thought that was pretty good.
Good one.
I heard that story.
Anyway, Max Landis, it sounds to me, these are people who were in consensual relationships with him. Multiple cases where they said he was a serial rapist. And a serial body shamer. I've never heard a body shamer called a serial body shamer.
Really?
And what's a gaslighter? I didn't even know that term.
It's where...
A liar?
No. It's where you make the person think what they think isn't true. Does that make sense? Did I explain that probably in the wrong way?
It's like manipulation.
So Brandon could say, Drew's been touching my butthole all the time. And I would say, no, Drew does not do that. What are you talking about? And then you in turn start believing it.
Yeah, he tried to...
I don't think that's an accurate...
Whenever anyone spoke up, he would essentially tell them they would be destroyed and, you know, that there was nothing he could do about it and...
Man, he's homely too. Wow,
I know he's just such a fucking weasel, and I'm so delighted. I hope his career is just over because John Landis isn't doing squat, so his power is diminishing anyway.
Yeah, is he alive, John Landis?
John, I think so. Yeah. Oh, by the way, his latest project, he's remaking An American Werewolf in London. Oh, it just happens to be John Landis' movie.
Oh Lord.
Yeah, we really need that remade, Max. You weasel. Fuck you.
That's a pretty good movie. Today.
It was.
It survives today.
I thought it was very good.
Yeah. Everything's
I wouldn't mind seeing it again.
Everything's getting remade.
I mean, that's the beauty of this Max Landis case. It reminded me to see American Werewolf in London again. So, thank you, Tree. And I got so mad as I was reading this story because they were using all these quotes of his, you know, what he's all about and, you know, his bio, so to speak. And he was claiming that... I've been held back in Hollywood so long because of my behavioral and emotional issues. And then he said that, you know, when I was growing up, all these people knew each other. Jonah Hill was friends with, you know, he's running, you know, these people were all sort of a group of people. He said, I didn't know anybody. I was always on the outside. Now you're John Landis's fucking kid, you asshole.
Yeah.
Give me a fucking break. And Beverly Hills schools, by the way, were so pathetic, so horrible. He couldn't possibly be educated in Beverly Hills with all of his special needs. So he had to be sent to an alternative high school in Connecticut.
A boarding school.
Which he also didn't like. So, you know.
And he was an actor in his dad's film, so.
Oh, I hate this guy. I just fucking hate him.
Ugly Kid?
Yeah, Ugly Kid 1 and Ugly Kid 3 in a different movie.
And Big Ears.
He also once directed Ariana Grande's music video.
Oh, Jesus.
So stupid.
He said he wrote 47 screenplays before he was 23.
Bullshit. They all suck, though.
But he was on the outside, so therefore he really couldn't get them made. I know. I just want to throw up.
How about the people that write tons of screenplays that never get anything made because their dad's not a director?
And then using his dad's power to get laid all the time by these chicks who would never, ever consider housing him. Reminded me of Ty Dolla. There was a catfish involving Ty Dolla, who this girl said, I've been in a relationship with Ty Dolla for 3 years. We're in love. And, you know, she's showing all the texts, you know, I love you so much. I think about you all the time. And it turns out it's Ty Dolla's social media director, who's his nephew.
That's great.
Who was very unapologetic, by the
way.
Great. And Ty Dolla was unapologetic. He was like, oh, well, how about
John Landis, though, helping his kid out, too? I mean, shouldn't he have made him do it out on his own?
I know.
Daddy.
Just what can you say?
You run a business with your son. You couldn't even find another grown man to go into business with.
The other story is quite dramatic. But hang on a second for that one. Woman sues top Hollywood talent agency, claiming executives tried to fondle her and demanded sex. But first, Trudy, can you handle Zot Ford? It needs a different touch because I don't. We've been doing this commercial, and no one calls or emails Maz anymore. They've okay. literally shut the operation down. We will get in touch with Gary and find out if the action has just moved to him, which would make me feel better.
Damn it.
For Tom's sake, I won't even finish reading the rest of Steve's text.
Oh, boy.
What?
Crap.
What? Well, let's wait till the commercial so we can think about it a little bit.
I'll let you read them.
Okay. Happy Juneteenth, by the way, from Zot Ford. What is National DJ Month, National Adopt a Cat Month, National Pride Month?
Dr. Roche after this, too, Trudy.
Ice Tea Month, National yeah. Soul Food Month, and the hottest deals of the year at Zot Ford and Holly all have in common.
Are they all in June?
Ha. Huh. Wow, next. Mark. That was good.
Does yeah. it really say ha? Huh? Well, it's funny.
You guessed it.
Tom did the read yesterday and said, I don't know. And he just kept doing the read. And he's like, that's right. He said, I don't know.
Well, did Maz make sure that he read the line that's his,
yeah, he read in
his
third
friend
person.
Maz?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Maz yeah. celebrates each and every one of them, including Juneteenth, most of the time while playing hooky from work. Oh, boy. Ah, boy. Ooh. But when he is at Zot Ford, he can help you lease the all-new 19 Ford Edge SEL all-wheel drive as low as $99 a month. And whether you've taking him off the list of people that you usually see about cars, you should reconsider it right now because yeah. check that price.
That's or, a good car, too.
In Maz's absence, it is. Hello, great car. Gary, yeah. Maz's personal sales manager can help you lease a new 19 Ford F-150 Super Crew 4x4 as low as $144 a month. Wow. Wow.
And it drives.
Man, I need that. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of stuff to move out of my house soon.
Yeah,
love
you do.
My truck.
Yeah, your truck is sweet.
Oh, God.
Brandon, smoking. Regardless
what,
if you
having sex with that truck?
Four-wheel drive, man.
Regardless if you care to celebrate
Cat
Ice Tea.
Sex with my truck, man.
Soul food or Juneteenth. Make sure that you include Zot Ford and the hottest sales staff in Oakland County in your celebrations. Please see details in their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And Dr. Roche has a lot of Juneteenth specials, too, to celebrate. Your best summer ever is what you should want to celebrate. I was, in fact, looking at the picture of Suzanne Summers thinking, oh, my God, Dr. Roche should really help her. We should yeah. emergency life flight her to his office. And
someone said John Ritter's going to die when he sees that picture. What?
Jeez. Oh, my God.
Oh,
what
on.
Happened to Chrissy? But anyway, Dr. Roche has every type of cosmetic procedure to help you feel comfortable and confident in your body for a summer. Explore 360 lipo, fat transfer, breast lift, breast augmentation, Zerona, because you want to be out and you want to have your, you know, bare legs in your bathing suit. And you don't want them to be all pebbled with cellulite. You can get Zerona laser treatments and smooth that all out. Father's Day treatments through the end of June. Special discounts on surgical and non-surgical procedures. Brides, mothers of brides, grooms, members of the bridal party, pop by Dr. Roche's office. Buy one syringe of Restylane, get $100 off the second syringe. Buy two areas of Botox and Dysport, get $100 off the third area. Or three Diva treatments for $4,500. Now, $38.50 and a free G-spot thrown in as well. Dare to wear your thong at the beach after Brazilian butt lift procedures. From Dr. Roche, learn how fat transfer and fat grafting can be used with this procedure to give you the perfect shape. And schedule your consultation today.
Do it.
At Dr. Roche's, it's 248-338-1110 or droche.com. If you want to look at what all these procedures have done to improve people for summertime and Father's Day and bridal parties yeah. and all that.
Well done. Well done.
Bravo. Thanks.
Great timing. Way to stretch until they both
go.
what a pro. No wonder you're number one.
You
good
we,
job.
We think she needs to be emergency life flighted to Dr. Roche because that's Suzanne Summers.
Oh, my God.
Did you know who that was when I showed it to you?
I really didn't. Did they chopper her in?
They need to.
The medevac?
Airlifting.
Yes. Yeah.
Our pre-show conversation after the whole John Ritter thing led to, we could not remember Joyce DeWitt, which then led to, can anybody name another famous Joyce
famous
other
Joyce
than DeWitt?
I can't think of one. I really can't. I couldn't think of a Joy either. I was thinking that movie was called Joyce about the latest star of the Home Shopping Network.
Yeah.
It was Joy.
And then, well, Dr. Joyce Brothers came up, and then Zoov started rattling off four or five, and he got busted for looking it up on Google.
That's no.
Google ruins arguments.
What choices? What Joyce is?
I don't know. He was naming like
what
four choices? Or five, and I kept going, "Who's that?" He goes, "I don't know." I said, "Well, no, why do you know the name?" Busted, man.
It's just nobody knows. But you would never know a Joyce because Joyce is literally nobody names their kid Joyce anymore.
Yeah,
obviously.
First name Joyce too, not Jim Joyce, the umpire.
Or James Joyce, the writer. Yeah.
My mom's name is Jane. There's no Janes anymore.
Oh, there are a couple of Janes.
That's a good solid name.
Barbara.
Hi, mommy.
Barbara.
My grandma.
Barbara.
Betty. You don't see a lot of Bettys.
Not many Bettys
around. Is Betty short for something?
Elizabeth.
Ah. Uh-huh. Elizabeth. That's all I think of when I hear it.
Was your grandpa Elizabeth?
Elizabeth.
Was Betty, though.
I was excited to see Ed come into the news. I forgot why. I think Elizabeth was talking about something, and Ed had her back.
Always.
But he is... Oh, I love when he talks.
Are you still playing the harp,
Elizabeth? Remember she played the harp her first day back, and he was so pumped.
Oh, my God.
We have that audio?
Is that really appropriate for half her?
Yeah. Let me see if I can find old Eddie.
I think it made her feel at home. She was not allowed to play the harp when she was kidnapped, I think.
True.
So
are you surprised she's as well, Elizabeth Smart is as well adjusted today?
She seems great.
Really?
Yeah.
She really does. She fights on behalf of victims and good for her.
I mean, that hideous penis coming at you.
Oh, God.
Every day, she said.
That hairy face.
Did one of them get out, by the way?
Yeah, Wanda Barzee did. And then we called.
Remember,
she was staying
at that
hotel, so we called the hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How could they get out? I mean,
we have no Ed Smart in the thing.
There are very few Wandas, too, but Wanda Sykes.
That's right.
And Wanda Barzee, those are the only two Wandas.
Wow.
CNN had a story last week about a white woman named Lakeisha in Ohio.
Really?
Wow. It was a fascinating story about how, you know, white names and black names and why her mom named her Lakeisha.
Well, there's
a weird story.
Yeah.
You know, there was
it's kind of neat, though.
What was the story? The Toronto parade shooter? I just pictured this white guy.
I immediately
thought it's a white guy. I don't know what I thought. I just thought it was a big, you know, maybe an incel or something.
Yeah.
And it was a black dude.
Did you get tackled?
I did not.
Yeah, there's video of the cops.
Was it a racist tackle?
That was a pretty sweet tackle, actually.
What's his MO, by the way? I haven't heard anything about
boo
that
on
guy.
It. Yeah.
Okay, well, this woman is suing.
There he is, getting tackled. And then the immediate crowd around isn't.
Sign him up!
Isn't even dispersing, which is kind of odd.
Well, he's on the ground. It's kind of fun. And plus, you can tape it.
Nice.
If they do something horrible to him, you can make some money with TMZ.
Oh, that's true. Even Canadians do that?
Yeah, probably.
Oh.
Sure.
So disappointed.
A female talent agent claims she was sexually harassed by executives at one of Hollywood's top agencies who tried to fondle her, demanded sex, and called her a cunt, told her to keep quiet when she was sexually assaulted. Executives at the Agency for the Performing Arts, which represents Kiefer Sutherland, Gary Oldman, Jeff Bridges, and 50 Cent and T.I., are being sued for sexual harassment and gender violence by the former executive assistant and talent agent, who she says was forced out for telling the truth about what happened to her.
Wait,
she was forced out.
Why are they being vilified in this story? They don't have anything to do with it, right?
It's to show that it's a big agency, I think.
Oh, I see.
One boss, she alleges, in a court action tried to squeeze her breasts, saying they are not real.
Hey, those aren't real.
Honk, honk.
Yeah.
Another demanded oral sex, called her a cunt, and said, "You must suck black cocks to sign clients." So they were diversity advocates and harassment. I mean, that's on the bright side.
Just black, though, or?
Well, I don't know why they
pointed
out black
cocks. All cocks.
But they weren't, at least they weren't saying that you must suck white cocks. I mean, that would have made it worse, right? According to her claims, another asked, "What color lingerie are you wearing? You make me so had." By the way,
these stories, I hate laughing at them, but these moves these guys put on are
what
so
color
pathetic.
Lingerie? What if she was wearing black and you don't like black lingerie, would you really be less excited about that?
Does the
color of lingerie really matter?
I just want the picture to be painted.
Oh.
Wouldn't you rather know what type of lingerie she's wearing?
I had a friend, and we used to live with girls back in college. We had some roommates that were girls, and her friend called. My friend answered it, and he just went, "What color panties are you wearing?" And she went, "Red? Why? Who is this?" And I thought it was really funny that she answered the question before she went, "Why? Who is this?"
Yeah, that's the end of those underwears.
Nice answer, though. What kind of panties
are you? CEO called her an icy cold cunt and threw a stapler at her head.
Whoa!
Jesus.
Sue claims Josh Humiston, APA's head of music, subjected Jane Doe to crude and sexual comments and overtures he made during her time. I know your breasts are not real. Let me squeeze them. Stupid.
What a meathead.
Sue claims that following the incident, on a weekly and often daily basis, Humiston asked and even demanded the woman have sex with him or pleasure him orally. Humiston made several further offensive and disparaging remarks to the employee during office hours, including, I didn't marry a Jewish bitch like you because I don't take it up the ass. And if you don't fuck me, you'll never make agent.
I gotta squeeze my butt.
I guess they're not so diverse
so he's
anymore.
Also, that would hurt him in the diversity column. At least he has the black cocks to fall back on.
Yes. Just anti-Semitic.
I want to squeeze him.
The senior staffer also sent vile texts, including his exhibits in the legal filing, which he says, if you fuck me, I'll convince Jim to pay you more money.
That's not much of a guarantee, though.
I'll convince
you
Jim.
You have to have him convince Jim. Jim's going to want in on that action.
Absolutely. Why should Jim pay her more? He's not getting fucked.
Yeah.
She should say,
she should just
if you fuck Jim and me, I'll convince Jim to pay him more.
She should have replied, why don't I just fuck Jim?
Exactly.
You're a middleman.
You can blow me while you fuck Jim. Another text seen by the email comrade. Your body is so hot. I've never seen you in a bikini. You should come over to my pool. Is that really?
That's kind of tame compared to the other ones.
Really encourage her to come over? Never seen her in a bikini?
I'm kind of surprised a guy who's an agent is not smoother than that.
It doesn't have to be.
This line.
He's got things to do, Trudy.
I'm going to get you fired, bitch. I know you suck pussy and cock like hell.
Suck pussy. What? You suck your mama's pussy.
He's calling her, suggesting like she's bisexual.
So you can fuck your mama pussies?
That shows some diversity in a way. I mean, or at least he's open to other sexual identifications.
I like that you're finding the silver lining in this.
Well, I'm just trying to defend him as best I can. When the employer rebuffed his unwanted advance, Humiston, it's alleged, turned nasty. You're a fucking cunt. You must suck black cocks to sign clients. He wrote one sinister text.
He told her to.
Another text, he said.
She's just following instructions.
Paul Santana, vice president of APA's talent department, his claim would routinely make wildly inappropriate and sexually demeaning comments towards the woman, including, your booty looks so hot today. You make me so hard. And what color lingerie are you wearing? Boy, don't these guys have at least a little mix it up in the moves department?
Great ass!
Booty.
What is a good color to say? If you were going to engage in that sort of
red. Hello, poop shoots.
Black.
Red for passion. Black. Nice. Black would be nice.
Yeah, not nude. Remember Clark always liked nude pantyhose? Yes, that was so weird. It's just a little generational thing, I suppose.
Or nude.
Yeah, boy.
What color are you wearing? Dirty white
underwear. Ew. Yuck. Yeah, Elvis liked white.
Telltale gray. Means she's a skank. The suit alleges Santana incessantly texted, verbally made sexually graphic remarks to the female employee. These guys, I don't know, is that somebody you would expect? I don't know.
Yeah, he looks kind of slick, maybe. But possibly.
Looks like Fred Armisen.
That's what I was thinking.
Maybe under-socialized when he was younger, so he doesn't have good moves. He's not real smooth.
Yeah,
that could be. Yeah. I'll take you on a weekend getaway. I could finally live out these fantasies I have for you. Your ass looks so hot in those jeans. You know how hot I am right now? All for you. This whole boner.
Well, that's kind of flattering. Should she be kind of flattered?
Well, every bit of hardness is about her.
That's kind of... See, at least probably singing to multiple women.
Seems she's forced him during mood swings, who claims to manifest themselves in violent physical bursts of anger, including multiple occasions calling her a bitch and a failing cunt or a fucking cunt.
Okay. Oh, failing.
Your ass looks so hot in those jeans. You know how hot I am right now. All for you.
That's flattering.
It's meant as a compliment.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, his motives behind the compliment are the best, but...
He threw a glass of water after berating her in August 2016, calling her a cunt, threw a trash can filled with trash and a glass at her in 2017. Later, I'm surprised she's still working there. Later that year, he threw a stapler at her head while berating her for 2 hours. 2 hours of berating? That's a lot of berating. I'd run out of steam after 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, he's still hard.
And January 2018, again, threw a trash can at her, calling her an icy cold cunt. Mm. Why didn't she go to HR?
Because wasn't he in charge?
Yeah, well, they're all kind of upper level people.
It wasn't just one guy, right? I think it was
three guys.
Yeah, so.
She was given a tiny office in the kitchen, the office of real estate equivalent of Siberia, in a bid to further demean her. Senior executives then offered to rescue her from the kitchen in return for sexual favors. Boy, that's diabolical, isn't it?
Very much. And listen to this next part, because it sounds like everyone in the office is kind of a dick.
If you fuck me, maybe you'll get an office.
The next part about being...
Otherwise, we'll put you right next to the shitter next time.
Your office will be in the shitter. Let's put a desk in a stall. Every call will be echoed.
This is really inappropriate coverage. Sue claims other executives and male colleagues dubbed her Cinderella over her kitchen office, and she would frequently be in. Why Cinderella? Does Cinderella have a kitchen office?
Oh, yeah.
Well, she was poor.
Yeah, right. She had a scrub.
Rats made her dress.
She would frequently be interrupted by chatting colleagues who'd leave dirty dishes and half-eaten food on her desk.
Sounds like her desk was just a table in the kitchen. What a
conduct promoted and condoned by APA, culminated with sexual assault on Jane Doe by one of the term's top clients. It's alleged and following Michael Hammond, chief operating officer of TV productions firm Collins Avenue Productions, which is one of their premier clients, thrust himself during a business meeting at his office. Hammond thrust himself on the plaintiff with an erect penis. Wow, it sounds like a weapon, let me put it that way. Forcibly kissing her mouth while placing his hands on her hips.
Lord.
And then sliding him up her chest and grabbing her breasts. He was terrified and shaking, only able to escape when his secretary knocked on his office door. Jane Doe says she was forced to continue working with Hammond. Not 2 months later, Hammond sent her a string of suggestive texts calling her sexy and saying, I know you want me. Stupid secretary interrupted it last time. I know you were wet, bitch.
Sounds like he's cooked, too, because she has copies of all of them.
Yeah, I'm surprised people put this in print, but they sure did. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That's quite a suit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think they'd want to settle this one.
Now that's being sexy. That's all. That's classy and sexy. I like that.
You know, the interesting thing about Me Too, because it just goes on and on and on.
They got nothing on me past 92 tops.
You know, all the money that was raised, and it was CBS and Les Moonves just threw another $20 million at it. It was supposed to help people, you know, who are going through this in regular little corners of the world.
Yeah.
And yet it seems that every time there's a story, it's somebody else in Hollywood. It seems like they like lecturing us on their problem when we know this problem exists. But it just seems like the casting couch sure is a busy place in Hollywood.
Yeah. Well, of course. But do we hear the rank and file sexual harassments every day? Probably not.
No, we're not always going to hear about them, but there's a couple local cases that have come up.
How do you know where to go when you've got that situation going on and help and connect with the people who are the Me Too helpers?
Well, there's all that money. I mean, that's what I thought they were going to, that was the idea was,
how do you call them up?
You know, this is going on all over the place. You know, there's all these crappy people and all these poor girls, and that's why we're raising all this money to help them. And yet it seems like we're always talking about the people in Hollywood who are doing this stuff, and it seems like it's just incredibly egregious stuff that most of us have never seen or heard about. I mean, the Harvey Weinstein case, I've never heard of anyone who does this to people, and not to mention the fact that very rarely in a workplace do you hear about people going to meetings in hotels and people opening the door with their robe and, you know, their fat dick hanging there like Harvey Weinstein. Well, if you can see it over his fat gut. Not saying it doesn't happen. Of course it happens. But it just seems that it sure does happen a lot out there.
Yeah, but
all
if
the lecturing they seem to want us to listen to and all the can you imagine all the people who've had to go through sexual harassment training because of them?
Yeah.
And because of Oprah's speech at the Golden Globes and because of Time's Up and Me Too. And it just seems like maybe they need the lecture from us more than we need it from them. Just saying.
It's not like they're doing PSAs, though. Like, if you, here in, you know, Detroit, have been Me Too'd, this is who you call.
I thought that's what the money was being raised for. Why is there no follow-up on what's going on with the money? And I hope we don't find out, and we probably will, that there's a bunch of high-paid executives running Me Too and chewing up all the money.
Didn't Time's Up, didn't the lady have to step down because her son...
Yeah, her son harassed someone, her son, and she was defending him.
If you go to the website, there's a lot of... or at least it must be from their Instagram, must echo their Instagram, a lot of the women's soccer stuff.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, because they're being underpaid? Because the men have $4 billion in revenues, and they have $73 million in revenues, so and the men are paid more.
That's what's funny about this. They have revenue generated 2016 to 2018. U.S. women's national team games, $50.8 million. Men's national team games, $49.9 million.
But wasn't that specifically during the time frame that the U.S. women's team won last?
Oh, they're a good team. They're very good. That's what I hate about the story. They've done very well. They should be lauded.
2015 was the last one, right? Last World Cup?
Four years ago.
And the men weren't in the other World Cup, which typically they would be, but...
Who cares?
For some reason, there's more revenue generated. I don't think the Women's World Cup team is short on attention. I mean, it gets discussed a lot. It's not that people ignore them.
They have they made this contract. Why did they make such a shitty contract then?
And why are there empty seats at their games? It's not like nobody knows there's a game.
I don't know.
You know what? This was being argued. I saw this maybe a week ago when the story first came up, and the numbers came up. You know, the men's game is watched by far more people. The revenues are much greater, and they got into the whole, you know, Ronaldo and all mm-hmm. these big world stars.
Oh, by the way, Messi's coming to the big house. So that's cool.
Who?
Who?
What? I don't know.
Who almost popular.
I don't think
world.
I don't think any of these people should be paid at all. But anyway, the response was that it's institutional sexism. That it's the way it's set up. The women can't possibly make as much money. And that they're a better team anyway.
Strike,
so they should be paid as much because they're a better team.
Strike, then. I point out something else? I saw a commercial. I've seen this commercial pop up a few times. It's a commercial for something called Symetra. Have you seen the Symetra?
I haven't seen it.
And it stars Sue Bird. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Brandon, will you pull up the Symetra TV commercial featuring Sue Bird? And just tell me how hilarious this commercial is when you play it for Drew. You got to watch it, too.
Do you remember that day? That day you met your hero?
Miss Bird, do you think I could be a champion like you?
Of course you can. And you can call me Sue.
Super Jabber, coming through!
Salutations, famous female of orange round ball.
Would you like an autograph?
Excuse me! It's you.
Jibber Jabber ruins everything.
Is it?
At Symetra Life Insurance Company, we're cutting through
to help you choose the retirement. She is a WNBA player.
I don't even know who Sue Bird is.
She's a WNBA player, and they make it out that she's got all these fans, and the little girl's beating her hero, and these two guys are big fans of hers.
When nobody watching the commercial knows who she is.
Exactly, Drew.
Well,
yeah, right.
Why not put, Kyrie Irving in there or somebody?
What's the 1 o'clock show on ESPN?
Outside the lines.
Outside the lines, yeah. They were talking about how the WNBA has all these stars. They start rattling off these names like, who? And I follow sports, so I felt like I'm sure they dominate the game. Nobody goes.
Well, maybe they're trying to right a wrong there, you know?
Job, or is it to sell life insurance?
Yeah, the advertiser is the one getting cheated, in my opinion, but
they must have had a small budget.
I just don't think there's any systematic effort to demean the WNBA. It's quite the opposite. The NBA is
trying to make
it's a charity right now. The money comes from somewhere else. They don't make the money themselves. It's a donation. So anyway, the NY1 anchor strike lawsuit. Also, I'm just tired of these. It's like the same shit over and over and over. This case interests me though because you got five anchors at NY1, which is a local. It's a local New York news operation.
Yeah, independent. Mm-hmm.
And the anchors are suing for age discrimination, and a lot of people are watching this suit because, you know, you've got the young, fresh face, hot females replacing time from the older, more experienced, more professional staff of women.
More highly paid.
more highly paid. Yeah. So it's yeah, there's some maybe some ageism going on there. But, you know, every time I watch ESPN, for example, I notice that, hey, you know, it's very diverse. There's a lot of women on all these, you know, men's sports shows traditionally, and they're all hot. Mm-hmm. So what happens when they're not so hot? Don't they seek a hot female to replace them like they did in the Today Show? I mean, remember when Jane Pauley was booted out of the debate Today Show?
Oh, yeah.
By the young...
she's on Inside Edition now, right?
Yeah.
Norville.
Deborah Norville.
Oh,
and people are like, oh, my God, that's outrageous. And I like Jane Pauley, always did. But they always want, you know, when you're trying to hire women because they're to make a... to draw eyes on ESPN, it seems like they always go for the hot one.
It's crazy.
Where are the women of different shapes on ESPN, yeah, and the women who aren't so pretty, the ones that it should be, since they know as much as the men, you think they would be of different shapes and sizes like the men. So what's up with that? Because ESPN, you know, they're so wonderful and they want to fix everything and they want us to watch the WNBA. But when they hire women, it seems like they're all the pretty young faces.
Still a visual medium.
Right. So the NY1 suit, you know, I couldn't help thinking, gee, when these women were hired, were they hired because they were pretty young faces? And was that part of why they were hired? And now when they're not the pretty young faces, it's like, hey, this is sexism and ageism. Mm-hmm. But the pretty young faces aren't complaining about it. The ones that are taking their time up, they're not complaining.
Oh, that's a good point. I'd never thought about that before.
Well, I don't know. You don't see heavy set anchors. You don't see on ESPN. You don't. Seems like they're all pretty.
Yeah.
Aren't they? I mean, yeah. The football shows, there's always the token female, just like there's a sideline female. They're always good looking.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we really proving anything here? I mean, aren't we proving that, gee, men don't mind looking at pretty girls?
Yeah, where's the fabulous sports babe?
She was on radio. Well, radio's pretty democratic, isn't it?
Yeah.
A little bit? Yeah. A little bit more?
yeah, absolutely.
It's crazy to think about that.
Well,
what
I mean,
happened to her, though, the fabulous sports
babe? She's got a podcast.
Oh, of course. Sorry.
Just, and I'm not knocking the anchors who are suing. I'm just saying it's sort of an interesting situation. I would think with all the woke people out there, wouldn't we have less attractive females who occasionally make the cut at ESPN?
You would think.
You'd think. I mean, but it seems like they always choose the pretty ones.
Wait, one of these women in the five that filed the discrimination lawsuit, yeah, is 41.
I know.
That's not old, is it?
I don't think so. But if you read enough about this, you'll find that there are people who are much younger getting a lot of time, apparently.
Yeah, like Van Choi.
There's a really hot one named Angie Gonzalez, maybe? A-N-G-I?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's...
Oh, I wonder why you like her.
They're not... No, I didn't say I liked her. I just said she's chewing up a lot of the time, apparently. She was
and
referenced
space
in the story.
On the screen.
That for some reason, Angie Gonzalez is getting all this time now. And
she's got massive tubes.
Good morning, dimples.
Should we check her Instagram page out? She's not
yeah,
that
nothing
hot,
new.
Though.
Nothing. I didn't see any other good morning dimples.
Look at the rack.
Wow.
Yeah, she's a big rack.
It's weird that you used her as an example.
Well, I just remembered her name. She was referenced in the
wonder
story.
Wonder why you remembered her name.
Yeah, microfiche.
Well, because I spelled Angie, A-N-G-I-E, and it said, did you mean A-N-G-I?
Oh.
And so I hit that, and I guess it stuck.
Oh. Hmm.
Well, a lot of pictures of her. Is that her topless, too?
No.
And the story... Sorry. By the way, the story had an adjoining story on 15 cases of female sports TV people who may have crossed the line, and there's all these pictures of them in swimsuits and half naked, and I felt like, well, why is that crossing the line? I mean, they're hiring the hottest ones, so then they say they're crossing the line for acting too hot or for taking a picture in a bikini somewhere.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, it just seems like there's so much hypocrisy going on.
It's really punishing them for what's in their nature.
So I hope.
Yeah, they hire them to be hot.
Well, they still have to perform.
It's a mixed message.
There's always another hot chick willing to take their job.
Exactly. Well, what if that's what I'd be worried about?
Looking at... Oh, go ahead, Trish.
What if they had just a like super normal-looking group of people, like a TV station?
Boring!
Regular-looking people.
Let's look at normal
but
people.
But they're entertaining, and they were fun, and it was just a cool thing, and... You know, and people grew to like them despite the fact that they were normal looking.
Well, they are. It's interesting that the industry does seem to attract. I know if you ever watch Miss America, there's a lot of them want to be news anchors and reporters, It seems to be that people gravitate. I don't think Instagram is teaching them anything different, or is it?
No.
So I opened up Anne-Marie LaFlamme's Instagram. Yeah. And her most recent picture is like a family picture.
Good.
When I had it open yesterday, I was like, boring. But I clicked on it today just to read some responses because she's saying, you know, happy Father's Day to my awesome dad and brother-in-law. And so people are like, oh, I love that restaurant. She's at Camp Ticonderoga. And other people are like, happy Father's Day, Mr. Which I don't know why. Whatever.
Yeah, like he's on there reading it.
So I was kind of bored and just kind of spacing out. And then I get to the very last response on it. Good morning, Dimples.
Ah, there he is.
May God bless your every footstep. Have a beautiful day. Beautiful, dutiful day. 5 blue heart emojis.
Oh, I'm sure he's a great guy. Is that him?
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah,
that's Good Morning Dimples.
Seems like a cool dude.
He's probably a friend. They probably hang out a lot.
His most recent thing he posts is a video, and he... that's somebody else wrote that. Let's see. Do we dare play his video?
Yeah.
Oh, he did the okay sign. He's racist.
I can't really understand him.
You see that? He's racist against...
Yeah, he's a racist, too. Angelina Jolie's doing the upside-down racist sign.
And he's filming while he's driving, by the way.
Did you send me the Angelina Jolie picture, Brandon?
I don't think so.
Yeah, she's going like this.
Whoa.
Oh,
your picture?
Man. See?
Jeez, Brad Pitt just broke her.
She knows.
I guess so.
Broke up with her.
That guy put a picture of her on his page, of Anne-Marie LaFlamme.
Did he really? Well, see, they're probably
she
friends.
She needs to know. They're probably friends.
Oh,
maybe probably good friends.
There's another one.
She seems to enjoy his comments. He comments regularly. She hasn't blocked him.
He's a big fan.
My Monday
crush.
He's
a fan. He's a fan. Hey, did you see Melissa Rycroft is in the Dominican Republic? Sick. Very sick.
Oh, really?
Melissa Rycroft from... The Bachelorette The Bachelor.
Oh.
She was the one that that guy Jason married, and then 2 months later went, I want to be married to the runner-up.
Yeah.
And so he married Molly, and she bawled her eyes out on the show. And since then, she won Dancing with the Stars because everyone felt so sorry for her that they had her in Dancing with the Stars. And she won, and she's really pretty, and she's got a real bubbly personality. I mean, she seems like she's a fairly cool chick. Anyway, she married some other guy, and she's got two kids, and she went to the DR just recently, and she got really sick. And so,
both ends.
Both ends, exactly.
Oh.
We might have some audio of that, actually.
I think we do. I think it's this one.
No, that's Trudy. That's when Trudy was sick.
There's a very slight difference.
Keep getting this audio screwed up.
Oh,
okay.
That's true.
No, I could tell that was. Is that Trudy or Melissa?
No, play it again.
This is Trudy.
Oh, it's lower. It has a lower voice.
Well, yesterday, I was Maz and I were discussing the nine people, because they were showing the nine people who have died in the Dominican Republic recently.
Yeah.
And nine seems like a big number, but I was kind of feeling like, hey, wait a second. Why don't they tell us how many people went to the Dominican Republic before we say, because, you know, 400,000 people went to Woodstock.
Mm.
So, you know, a couple people are going to die when you have that many people in one place, right?
I think it's weird, too, that they're all Americans. Doesn't anybody else go visit the Dominican Republic?
Well, yeah, I think a few people.
Mean, everybody knows better.
Are Canadians immune?
I don't know.
Or Mexicans?
But also, I noticed that of the nine, seven of them are pretty heavy. And there were, you know, the heart was defined as a problem. So I was thinking maybe some of these are just natural causes. Maybe there's so many people that go to the DR for vacation that maybe it's all natural causes.
It's possible.
But Melissa Rycroft, that's the reason Matt sent it to me. He's like, this isn't natural causes.
Mm.
Because she's certainly young and she looks very healthy. And I don't know. I find that when a husband and a wife die within 24 hours and they're in their 40s, that's pretty weird.
Well, how about all the Jimmy Buffett fans that got sick?
I didn't even know about that.
Oh, my God.
That's Trudy, Brandon. That's the wrong one.
Somebody was saying earlier they were sick of hearing all the stories of who got sick in the Dominican Republic because there's so many of them.
I didn't know about the Buffett fans.
Yeah, I'm looking,
me.
A whole school, too, got sick on a trip down there.
Really?
Why do people keep going? I wonder what a travel agent would say about going there now.
Thank you. My first thing is, like, the next person I see that's sick in the Dominican Republic, I'm going to say, hey, buyer beware.
Yeah.
If you're still going to the DR, well, maybe.
Yeah, these are purchased months in advance.
Well, I know, and it's kind of like when you want to get on the plane, they go, there's a mechanical problem. Just fly the fucking thing, I need to get home!
I agree.
I don't care if it crashes!
I have to get home.
And you're like, well, I paid for the trip, I gotta go. I mean, there's a 1 in 10 chance I'll die, but, you know, I paid for it!
There's a 1 out of 5 chance it will come out of only one end. I can't find the Buffett story now.
I mean, isn't that true, though, that, you know, you're right, Brandon. I'm sure she paid for it. Now, Melissa Rycroft, I would think she's of enough means that she could take the penalty.
Yeah.
And
not go.
I don't know. I mean, if you see that somebody flew to the Dominican Republic tomorrow and they're terribly, terribly sick, wouldn't you kind of feel like, well, I'm not saying they deserve it, but I'm just, you know, you would think that if you had a trip there, wouldn't you cancel?
Yeah. Knowing what I know now.
I don't know if I... Sorry.
What if it was at the resort? At the resort where, because there's like, aren't five of them?
Is it
going to
be
in
the same building that they got sick in?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that one resort has had a bunch of them.
So, 47 Oklahomans visiting the Dominican Republic in April as part of the Jimmy Buffett fan club group trip reportedly became violently ill, suffering from diarrhea and vomiting coming out of both ends. According to People magazine, the fans were staying at the hotel.
Just like Trudy.
Re-Palace Macau in Punta Cana when the illnesses struck. Quote, we're enjoying the beach and the pool. And about 3 or 4 days into the trip, we started hearing about people getting sick. Dana Flowers, a member of the group, told the magazine. They were getting diarrhea, vomiting, dizziness, headaches. It's unclear what made the group sick.
Okay, now, these people, they're Buffett fans, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're all partiers, booze. I suspect.
Well, they're always connected to booze.
Aren't a lot of them drinking mixed drinks with ice in them, maybe?
Oh, that's possible.
So maybe the ice melts and they drink the water.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, do they tell you not to drink the water there if you're American?
I've been to the Dominican Republic. I drank the water. It's fine.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was a couple of years ago, but still.
Hang on. Remember, none of those countries will say it's their water that's the cause of any of this. Because going to Mexico and they'd be like, it's not the water. It's you Americans who can't take your tequila. They would always say that in like.
Right.
Exactly, well, yeah. And blame it on us.
Diarrhea.
When I was in Jamaica, I got sick. And honestly, I wasn't drinking the water because they told me not to drink the water. They said, drink bottled water.
Yeah.
And there were people who were drinking water at the dinner table and stuff. And I was like, eh. And anyway, I got sick. And they said, did you eat a salad? Because the salad is, the lettuce is washed and has drops. And I'm like, God, one drop of water can make you that fucking sick?
Yeah.
I mean.
I know. I drank bottled water and didn't brush my teeth with the water out of the sink.
Oops.
But I drank a lot of mixed drinks with a lot of ice in them. So
booze kills it. This lady says the Buffett group initially chalked the mystery ailment up to food poisoning, but their symptoms began to worsen. Flowers, who was among those affected by the illness, also was coming out of both ends of her. Claims that, he lost 14 pounds over 19 days.
Yeah, there you go.
Over 19 days.
Dominican diet.
It was some of the worst sick I've ever been. I normally don't never get no sick. Flowers claims that everyone who grew ill in his group either swam in one specific pool or drank at the swim-up bar. When members of the group saw
swim-up bar.
When they sucked treatment from the on-site doctor, most of them got an IV, then were prescribed a medicine for parasites. They didn't do any testing. They just automatically gave them the medicine for parasites. So 7 have died this year, 9 in the last 12 months in the Dominican Republic. The State Department said an average of 2.7 million Americans visit the Dominican Republic every year, Drew.
2.7 million? That's a ton.
Yeah. In the decade through 2018, 194 Americans died or were killed there. In the decade, so 2008 to 2018.
194 died in the Dominican Republic?
Or were killed there, yeah.
Average, well, that's
slightly
like
more
15
than 19
a year.
19 a year, according to the State Department.
So 9.5 a year is about right.
Yeah. It's a big deal.
Oh, that's average then?
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Are we making a big deal out of it?
I got to tell you, the husband-wife death was the one that I thought was really weird. And
that's Fiji, though, right?
No, there's one in DR, too.
This one, yeah.
There's one in Fiji as well. I think that's really strange. But, I mean, maybe they drank some really bad water. I don't know. Or maybe their systems weren't. Some of these people that died in the DR, by the way, they didn't look very healthy to me.
Yeah, the State Department said that there's no uptick in death.
Oh.
So go visit the Dominican Republic.
Our State Department says
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, they said it's right on course.
I don't trust them.
Could be, you know, it's sort of like the missing children. You know, people are so paranoid to let their kid walk three houses down the street. Well, less kids are kidnapped than ever.
Yeah. I was just having that discussion.
We're so aware of it, and every time it happens, it's a giant story, and we're paranoid to death. Sure. But it doesn't happen much.
I think part of it, too, it's so easy to track those kids today, you know.
Yeah.
Here's what the CDC says about the Dominican Republic. Things that you should worry about going there.
Diarrhea.
Cholera. Hepatitis B, malaria, and rabies.
Hepatitis B?
What about sunburns?
How do you get the hepatitis B?
Hep B?
Yeah.
But that stuff's so...
Having reckless sex on the beach? Somebody you don't know?
Pam Anderson.
By the way, did you see the picture Tommy Lee put out of his wife in this tiny bikini? He's like, look how hot my wife is. Totally natural. Don't you want to fuck her? And that's what he's really saying. You want to fight my wife so bad, and I fuck her. I'm the only one that fucks her. Look at her. Look at those tits. Look at that ass. I fuck her all the time, and you never will, even though you want to, and you should.
It looks good. That picture is good.
Wow.
And
would most guys...
Didn't he also say, oh, she's going to kill me for this? As if.
Oh, she hates the attention.
Yeah, she
really hates
does.
It.
I know she
did you see her comment on the picture?
What'd she say?
I'm going to kill you, Tommy! And to think that this dude used to buff Pamela Anderson.
She commented, oh my god, my face. Head in hand emoji.
Huh? What? What?
Oh, she's making like a stupid. She's making a stupid. Yeah.
Gosh, she looks fantastic.
Yeah, she looks amazing.
Yeah, there's nobody looking at your face.
Would
you?
Would you after Tommy Lee?
Yeah.
No. No. In fact, that's
I really
what.
Don't know
that,
if I would either.
That was what someone said was, how's the hepatitis treatment or something like that? Because Tommy has hepatitis.
He insists that's not him.
Are those boobs real?
Pam Dana,
they're real.
They're real.
They look real.
By the way, did you see the story about Heather Radar Online?
Heather Locklear?
Heather was triggered by watching The Dirt, and that's why she started drinking again and
had
to go back to rehab.
Why'd she watch The Dirt?
She wanted to see if she was in it.
She was. Yeah, there was a really young lookalike of Heather. It probably would be upsetting.
Go ahead and read. There's some great quotes.
Let's call the Avengers guy, by the way. He's been 116 times in just over 2 months.
Wow.
2.5 months. Him and together, a Hall Financial hotline is opened wide. Click the link to Hall Financial on the Drew and Mike Show website. Fill out the online form. They'll get back to you very quickly. If you're not serious, don't do it, because they will get back to you fast. Or you can go to drewandmike.hallfg.com. Or you can call 248-308-5000 if you're interested in a refi. Maybe if you don't want to save $200 a month, then don't call them. Don't call them if you want to save money. Or if you want to looking for your mortgage for your first home, dream home, take money out of your home, whatever it is. If you don't want to make an intelligent financial decision, don't call Hall Financial. Do not call them.
I dare you. Yeah.
If you're looking for a future with bankruptcy and horrible financial implications, do not call Hall Financial. That's what you're seeking. Tommy Lee still haunts unhinged Heather Locklear enough to drive her into rehab. Source close to the crazy 80s couple exclusively cinched to Radar that after seeing The Dirt, a movie about Tommy's band, Heather's mind was so blown she started hitting the bottle again. It deeply disturbed the 57-year-old Melrose Place mess. The whole thing completely flipped around, brought back a lot of memories. She started boozing again. Even more bizarre, after seeing the film, Heather, who didn't respond to Radar's request for comment, began to believe her ex was following her. She's convinced Tommy was hiding in her house and watching her.
Oh, wow.
Heather checked herself in rehab in April after the latest in a series of brawls with boyfriend Chris Heiser. She was released over Memorial Day. Heather and Chris, her high school sweetheart, have been an explosive combination. She found herself in a psych ward in November 2018.
She found herself there?
Yes.
Like, well,
seeing Tommy again, even in a movie, was more than enough to put her over the edge. The guy didn't even look like Tommy, really.
Oh, no. Mm. He's right. Much better looking.
So what's our Avenger dude's name?
His name is Augustin? Maybe Gus. I don't know.
Augustin? Shouldn't his name be Augustus? Augustin? Is this the Avengers theme?
Yeah, supersonic rocket ship.
Okay.
Kinks. It's in the movie.
Kinks are great soundtrack music.
Estás hablando al teléfono de Ramiro Alanis.
Augustin.
Dejar tu mensaje y yo me comunico contigo lo más pronto posible. Okay.
Something possible.
Sorry, mailbox is full. To send an SMS notification, press 5.
Press 5.
I got another number.
For Augie?
You don't want to leave him a text message?
What language is this? French or?
Afrikinkia. I think it was Espanol.
Well, come on, Drew.
I know. I would have left him a message, but Augie's not he's not available. She said his mailbox is full. That was the translation. And he's not available. Come on, Augie.
Uh-oh, we just got switched over.
Augie!
Hey, this is his English line.
Hey, I dig this song.
Oh, that was cool.
Kinks are awesome. I made a musical observation today that I think Trudy might be able to relate to. I don't know if anybody else will. I was listening to... Okay, Augie. If it's a machine brand, you want to leave a message or text them the phone number to the other number, maybe?
Slow getting to the phone.
I was listening to New Order.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the 40th anniversary of Love Will... Tear Us Apart, and that Joy Division album from 79, which is Transmission, is it? Anyway, it was the 40th anniversary, and I love that song. And that is the biggest song in the UK. Love Will Tear Us Apart. I think they were going through favorite classic rock songs in the UK, and I think it was number one.
Oh,
wow. Love Will Tear Us Apart, and of course, Queen was up there with...
Sure. You sure it's not Love Will Keep Us Together?
No. No. No, it's not. Probably in the top 200, but yeah, Love Will Tear Us Apart. It's a great song. It is. And so, yeah. Well, that's Ian Curtis singing. The singer committed suicide. I believe he was 23. Tear us apart again.
Love tear us apart again.
Of course, New Order's most famous song is
Bizarre Love Triangle.
Yeah!
We got a lot of cool songs. Temptation's a great song. Regret's a great song. They like the one-word titles. And they do a nice version of Love Will Tear Us Apart, as does Peter Hook and the Light. So
how did that sound, I wonder. It's a very particular sounding.
Yeah, they've got a unique sound. That's exactly what I was getting at. I was listening to Love Vigilante.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that song?
No.
That's another... New Order has songs I feel like the rock station should play, and they don't.
Yeah.
It's funny... There's a certain brand of rock that just doesn't get played here. But I'm sure all you New Order fans, my favorite New Order song is Age of Consent, but I like Love Vigilante a lot. Great song.
Well, you can call
it. I recognize it.
And put that on our deep cut list.
Please do. And my theory is that New Order, either New Order borrowed The Cure's guitar, or The Cure borrowed New Order's guitar.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the guitar tone is very similar, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And the mic, too, a little bit, yeah.
I mean, I wonder if there's any crossover in producers or something.
Probably. Studio. does sound like an engineer's technique.
I think New Order recorded in Manchester. But if you listen to Pictures of You or, you know, one of those big Cure songs, that guitar is so close.
There's a pretty feisty argument, Cure versus New Order, on a Google group, so I don't know how old it is.
What are they arguing about?
Some people think the Cure ripped off New Order.
Well, it would have to been the Cure ripping off New Order, but I think the Cure sound is unique.
Does it matter, though? I mean, isn't there room for both?
Yes, clearly. But you know what? You never hear either one of those bands here.
Somebody
Does
wrote
anyone?
On this. This is all about In Between Days and that New Order song, Love Vigilantes. The Cure song is truly a ripoff. If I'm not mistaken, Robert Smith admitted this in his Melody Maker interview. So,
is that so?
Yeah.
Well, what an observation. Can you play a little Pictures of You?
Sure.
I think that's a pretty good example. What song are they talking about by The Cure, by the way?
I just said it. What was it? In Between Days?
I'm not familiar with that song. Boy, this vocal sounds familiar, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's not Robert Smith, though.
Well, that's New Order, so here's In Between Days. I'll jump ahead.
Because I heard Love Vigilante on First Wave on XM.
Oh.
That sounds exactly like it.
But the guitar tone is very... I think of The Cure first, actually. But then, as I started listening to more New Order, I'm like, it isn't a lot of those songs. Even Love Will Find a Way, the tone is similar.
It's kind of garagey in a way, a little bit.
Yeah.
As opposed to...
I love... New Order's bass guitar is so cool. I mean, the bass really drives a lot of their music.
I know the lyrics aren't necessarily supposed to be happy, but it's got a really happy... It sort of makes you feel all buoyant and...
I know.
Buoyant.
It is.
I think that's a great term.
It's weird to hear a Cure song that's, you know, sort of a smiley, you know, upbeat song like Friday I'm in Love.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that should not be a Cure song. No. It just shouldn't be. Elvis Costello does a lot of real upbeat sounding songs that really aren't so upbeat.
I know.
And you're on a major Elvis kick right now.
I've been cranking Elvis. I was listening to Armed Forces today, Moods for Moderns and Two Little Hitlers. Mm. And speaking of Hitler.
That's a great segue.
I heard the most ridiculous argument today. Van on TMZ was arguing with Harvey. They're both talking, I swear to God, both talking at full volume at the same time for about a minute straight.
View style?
Yes. It was,
Let It Rip.
Let It Rip. It was like they were trying to rip off Let It Rip. It was so stupid because Harvey was saying, AOC said that we're running a concentration camp on the border.
Yeah.
And Harvey said, concentration camp is really something that is more specific to the Jews in Germany during World War II.
Yeah.
And Van was saying that definitively, by the definition, she's right. You know, whether you take exception to it. And he would not shut up. Hmm. And Harvey's saying, look, as a Jewish man who's lost relatives to a concentration camp, you know, I don't think this was really well said, not to mention that Jews were pulled out of their lives and dragged into a concentration camp where they were starved and eventually killed, exterminated. I mean, you could go on and on about the horrors that went on there. And Harvey also said that when the Asians were interred...
Internment camp would be a better term, right?
That was... Harvey was saying, and I entirely agree with him because I remember reading it in history in high school. It was never referred to as a concentration camp full of Asian Americans. It was always called internment camps. And so I don't know why AOC and she made...
It's because it's a more emotional term.
But it's the kind of thing... this is why AOC reminds me of Trump.
Hello,
because she will defend a comment like that, and she misrepresented the definition of concentration camp because somebody challenged her on it, and she said why she's right. And it was obviously a dumb thing to say. I don't know. It seems like anything she says is news. I mean, she's almost like Trump. It doesn't matter what she says. It's news. And some of them are not very well thought out, but it's always news when it's AOC. And I'm not I can't figure out why it is. Is it because she's pretty?
I think so.
She's young. So, she's part of that young progressive movement.
But, you know, young congressmen, women don't usually get much attention at all. But she's pretty. Well, she's hot. She's got a great body.
Mastered social media like Trump has.
I guess I'm still.
She doesn't shy away from a fight on there, and she tweets all the time and Instagrams. And
but I just can't think. If she was an unattractive female or she was a male congressman who was 30 years old, would they really get this much attention?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
So, yeah, there was that whole thing, and that really led me to the conversation about the Trump kicking off his campaign, which, first of all, well, you got the audio, Brandon, that led to the CNN sucks chanting. CNN dumps out of the, I don't know if they were going to carry the whole speech anyway. Do we know? I mean, did Fox News carry the whole thing? Did MSNBC carry the whole speech?
I don't know. Who
maybe they did, maybe they didn't.
What time was it when they dumped out?
It was last night, wasn't it? Last evening?
Well, you'll see why, but CNN cuts out at a specific moment, and you'll see why.
The American dream is back. It's bigger and better and stronger than ever before.
That's right.
2016 was not merely another four-year election. This was a defining moment in American history. Ask them right there.
According to the press. CNN sucks. That's the chant.
Cool.
By the way, that is a lot of fake news back there. That's a lot. The amount of press we have tonight reminds me of the Academy Awards before it went political and their ratings went down the tubes. This was our chance to reclaim our government.
All right, we've been watching the president kick off his reelection bid. He's been on stage for about 6 minutes.
Within so they played, minutes, he did talk about they played the economy, 6 minutes of it, and they kind of dumped out during the CNN stuff.
So. Well, it sounded like they let all the whole chant of CNN sucks go.
Well, I don't know how quickly they can dump out of something like that, but or how quickly they were prepared to dump. I don't know if they plan to carry the whole speech or not.
But, I mean, that's the headlines today. The headlines were CNN cuts away from the Trump speech after the Crown shouts CNN sucks.
Well, it's probably better clickbait.
That's a good clickbait, yeah.
But, you know, I was watching highlights this morning, and he started getting on immigration, and we got to secure our borders. And I started thinking, God, that's just, I feel like that's a loser. Maybe it's just because
really?
I'm, well, I don't know. Yeah, I was thinking about it.
I don't think so.
I'm so tired of hearing about it. First of all, it reminds me of the fact that the government was shut down for 5 weeks, which did nothing except lose a lot of money. That could have been used for a myriad of causes, put people through a lot of hardship, and
but the fact that it's not resolved is
but it
good
never
for
gets
them.
Resolved. It hasn't been resolved for what, 25 years.
That's good for them,
I guess.
Good for the base. It's could, important you, to
well,
them.
Well, but the base is what's the base? 35%.
Yeah, but still, it gets them out to vote.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I was having a debate in my own head. And I was thinking, and maybe it's because I'm sick of hearing about it, I'm sick of the wall, just because I'm sick of the argument. I'm just sick of it, sick of it, sick of it. If I were him, and I'm not him, and I wouldn't have won in 2016 if I was him, because I wouldn't have done what he did. So what do I know? But I was just thinking that this immigration thing is, first of all, he's not going to win. It's just, it's the unsolvable argument that's been going on through how many presidencies since Reagan, Bush,
Ronald Reagan,
Clinton, Bush, Obama,
Ronald
Trump.
Reagan.
That's a lot of administrations that have failed to solve. I mean, there's 11 million people here. A lot of them have been here for 20 years, you know, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and never is it resolved. And I don't think it's going to be resolved. But, you know, they must really believe in this topic. They must really believe that it's a winner for him. Of course, he got into crooked Hillary.
Just his greatest hits. He had some new things he's going to solve today. Did you hear?
With new medical frontiers, we will come up with the cures to many, many problems, to many, many diseases, including cancer and others. And we're getting closer all the time.
Wait.
Hang on.
He's making fun of Joe Biden, isn't he?
AIDS in America once and for all, and we're very close.
All those old people stopped dying.
We will lay the foundation for landing American astronauts on the surface of Mars.
Cool. So it's him or Biden. Cancer's done.
I thought he was making fun of Biden because Biden said he's going to cure cancer.
No. Well, Trump's going to do it too. So either way, we all win.
Russell Crowe said it first.
Where is that pussy cancer anyway? Take that, cancer!
Trump and Biden have both gone with the other side will destroy you. Trump said they want to destroy you and destroy our country. Biden said the United States will be fundamentally, I forgot the word, I don't know if it's destroyed, but fundamentally altered or fundamentally changed if Trump is reelected. So both sides are really going all in on this is the end of, you know, something horrible happens if the other person's elected.
Boy.
Which is, yeah, actually, we've heard that before. That's not anything entirely new. But getting back to border security, I was so sort of taken by, gee, is this really the right thing to do? So I looked up online and said, polls on border security. And the first one was and a lot of times I think it matters how you ask the question.
Always.
And it was about, are you in favor of a secure border or open borders? 79% said secure borders.
Of course. Yeah.
Then they asked, I was still surprised by that number. Because
what, you think it'd be higher?
No, I thought it'd be lower.
Really?
There's a lot of people who are using the term open borders, and a lot of, anytime you talk about the wall or secure borders, you get a lot of people protesting.
That wasn't the question. I mean, the question as you presented it was, are you concerned with secure borders? I'm surprised it's not higher.
No, secure border versus open borders was the way the question was asked. Would you prefer secure border or open borders? And 79% said secure. Now, I'm surprised it wouldn't be higher. But anyway, anytime this topic comes up, if you just watch the news and protests and whatnot, I would think that there's more people who want open borders, or at least more open borders. The next question was,
well, isn't that because you have one side that says that side wants open borders?
Open borders is not a term that anybody made up. I mean, people say it.
No, I know. But I mean, when it's this whole black or white, one side versus the other side, that's how it's going to get painted. So you're going to think it's 50-50.
Well, based on the reaction to the wall, quote unquote, the racist wall, mm-hmm. I would have thought that. I just wouldn't think that number would come up that high. That's just me. You know, anybody can think whatever they want, but I was surprised by that number. Then they were talking about merit-based immigration versus family or lottery, because some people favor the lottery or chain immigration where, you know, people get other family members in. And merit-based is, for example, if you are educated, you would have points in your favor. If you speak English, you would have points in your favor in terms of being allowed into the country. So would you think that merit-based versus family, chain immigration, or lottery immigration, what kind of number do you think, how do you think that would fall?
Probably 50-50.
Anybody?
75%.
In favor?
Merit. Yeah.
Brandon?
I'd say 50-50.
79% merit-based.
I won that. Whatever.
I wouldn't have thought that number would be that high either. So I don't. Maybe this topic is just a winner, and they know it, and so he's just going to talk about it until we can't stand to hear it anymore. I don't know. When I heard him talking about it, I just thought, oh, is this all we're going to hear about for the next year and a half? Just because I'm just tired of the topic. I'm just tired of the wall, borders, concentration. I mean, it's just like the rhetoric is so loud and it's so extreme that I know they're not going to solve it. Well, I don't think there's going to be any solution.
I know something else you're sick of and bringing it up because now it involves Trudy's university. Bowling Green is now in a battle. Did you know about this?
Over the border?
No, over renaming a theater there.
What theater?
The Dorothy and Lillian Gish film
theater. Gishes, yeah.
You been to that racist theater?
It's a racist theater? I didn't feel
this
it
past
when I was
May,
there?
Student groups protested it because Lillian Gish starred in The Birth of a Nation.
She's allowed to sneak into theaters without being noticed sometimes.
She just happened to be in the movie.
Who brought this up? Who even?
A student group. Well, I mean, The Birth of a Nation, pretty famous movie.
Are people really talking about that movie, though? I mean, it's kind of like Kate Smith.
It does come up from time to time.
Birth of a Nation?
It's a pretty well-known
movie. Oh, no, I know it. I remember watching it in school.
Anyway, so because she just happened to be the actress in it, they have to remove her name. But now a bunch of celebrities are really mad about it.
Mad about renaming it?
Yeah, that they renamed it.
Well, I would think actors would be angry about it because if you're in a movie, it doesn't mean you believe the premise of the movie.
No.
So if you play Hitler, does that mean you're anti-Semitic?
Yeah, and we have to remove any instance of that history from...
But James Earl Jones...
Well, who else is in the movie? What else needs to be removed?
That's a good question. I don't know. But James Earl Jones is backing it, too. He wants them to rename it back.
Really?
Yeah.
I predict that is not renamed back.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
That's interesting.
Kate Smith didn't get her statue back.
Kate Smith should never have had a statue.
Yeah, but that's not the issue.
It is in my head.
I don't know.
I'm not really somebody who worships Kate Smith either, but I really thought, I don't know, I think a lot of this stuff is so stupid. And the UNC students who tore down the statues without, you know, you're supposed to have permission to do that, and they just... The mob just is so upset about this statue, they just literally knocked it down. And the school was only upset because they said somebody could have been hurt.
if Kate Smith had killed somebody.
Yeah. I still think Kate Smith did really good things for World War II. So.
Well, Kate Smith did a lot of good things. But, you know, in this environment, there's no rhyme or reason to it. And nobody cares. It's all emotional. And on college campuses, honestly, I don't know what's going on college campuses. You would think that people would want freedom of speech, freedom of thought, but no.
Well,
what's that all about?
Freedom to bark.
Who's he here?
I don't know.
I think they're faking somebody being up there so that the show can be over.
They usually just come to you to get food.
What's up, Layla?
Quiet.
There's a new revenge graduation speech.
I know. I can't believe this.
Really?
And honestly...
Mitch Albom's right.
What is it about these celebrations? Kindergarten graduation? Well, kindergarten graduation?
What?
I had a kindergarten graduation.
Did you really?
Yeah.
God.
Charlotte's class just had a party.
If you don't make it through kindergarten, that scares the hell out of me.
It's a celebration.
If you don't make it through kindergarten, something is really wrong with you. And I feel the same way about eighth grade graduation. And I remember thinking it when it happened. It's like, why do I have to get dressed up for eighth grade graduation? My dad's telling me I have to go to college. This is nothing.
Well, see, that's silly when they have the cap and gowns for that age. But to gather together for the end of the year, that's kind of fun, isn't it?
Well, why not do it in third grade?
Well, they do, don't they? Don't they have going away parties?
I don't know.
I only had the kindergarten and I had high school graduation. I didn't get eighth grade.
We had eighth grade.
Well, we had eighth grade. We had pictures and everything.
So this kid, it's another speech at a graduation that went awry.
Huh.
And they do have, by the way, they don't have gowns, but they do have the caps. Yay.
Well, how cute.
That is kind of adorable. They're playing Pomp and Circumstance. Is that what that's called?
Yeah.
Good afternoon, parents. Good afternoon.
Oh, geez.
Boys and girls. Shut the
Hey,
not nice.
No, thank you.
No, thank
Who
you.
Said that?
Can you leave?
No.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's out.
Oh, look at him yoink him by the arm, too.
Oh, my God. That he little said, dude said that?
Yeah, he said, shut the fuck up. And then she's like, do you need to leave? And he goes, fuck off.
And then well, he needs to be held back.
Some adult rips
held
him by
back
the
in
arm. No, bitch. That's what he said.
Wow.
It's just students are out of control.
I mean, I don't really care if someone wants to have a kindergarten graduation or third grade graduation or whatever. I just,
you just don't want
to
go.
It seems to me that, no, I don't want to go. Also, I wonder if all these celebrations, ninth place ribbons, is it giving people too much self-esteem? Is it saying you're too good, you're better than you really are? And I think it's good to tell kids they're great, but can anybody ever tell kids when they fuck up or when they're
I mean,
just doing the job?
I do.
Speaking of kids, did you see the sweet Little League brawl?
You know, if this isn't telling people that sports parents are just ridiculous, what is it going to take? I mean, these are about 15 adult men punching each other, tackling each other.
What started this? Like, why?
A bad call by the 13-year-old umpire.
Oh, well, that's horse shit. Get that kid out of there.
Exactly.
What was the call? Do we know what the call was?
Get an adult. Get a professional. Get one of those major league umpires doing these games.
Yeah, here was the umpire.
Abby!
Was it balls and strikes?
No, I think it was batting out of the order.
Okay,
so,
you know, I don't care what the call was.
I do.
Why would fucking
black and
adults
white.
Be fighting about this? Are you out of your fucking minds? It reminded me of...
They must have had money on the game.
Maybe. Well, that I would understand that. But I remember when Alex was six, and he was playing flag football. And I thought, wow, they got organized league for a six-year-old? And actually, once it got started, I remember, first of all... Teresa picked him up, and he was worn out from, I don't know if they ran too much, and it was hard. And, and I said, well, just, you know, because it's like, I don't want to do this. And I was like, just go through the week and see how it goes.
Yeah,
and he did, and of course he liked it. And next thing you know, they're doing formations where they got to, you know, snap counts. And I thought, well, that's good for a young kid.
You got to break him down before you can build him back
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
Hunt you! Let's do it!
I get a little discipline, you know, and working as a team. And I thought, this is great, you know, and it was, generally speaking. But they were not only learning a lot, but his team was good. And they were, I think they were undefeated going into the, quote unquote, Super Bowl. So, of course, I went to the Super Bowl. And at one point during the game, there's a lot of yelling and screaming, much like that. And so I asked someone, I said, what is all this hullabaloo over? And the gentleman who I talked to, who was closer to the action, said, it was a bad spot. I said, a bad spot? Somebody's complaining about the ball spot in a game of six-year-olds?
God, who
I didn't
cares?
Say that because I think he was a little wigged out about it.
Huh.
But it was, you know, it was spotted, you know, maybe a yard short, and he would have had the first down. And, of course, being the Super Bowl, even though it was six-year-olds, there were a lot of people yelling about the umpire's spot. And the umpires, by the way, were adults in uniforms, in referee uniforms, with whistles, and they were paid and all that. And,
nice.
But
apparently not enough.
How in the fuck can you really be worried about a spot? Or how can a game like that mean that much to anyone? It's insane.
I don't get it.
But then, of course, you know, as you get into the 7th and 8th graders, the 12 and 13-year-olds, or the 11 and 12-year-olds, it gets twice as nuts. I mean, then you see people screaming about every call.
I don't understand that. I don't even understand at the high school level.
I don't either. I was talking about travel. We were talking about travel sports a couple weeks ago, and somebody sent me a really long email. They were really angry because they're... I think he was a baseball travel team player and 12 years old. And it was the same thing. My son is good. He needs to play against the best. And
I just liked baseball when I was a kid.
I think that is such a fallacy. Travel sports First of all, very expensive.
Yeah.
Well, it's expensive to participate. Not
if you have
not,
the money, isn't that okay if you can afford
it? If you have the money, yeah, it's not a big deal. But
very disruptive,
the reason,
too.
Yeah. No, that's my objection to it is that there's all this travel. And, I mean, it really turns families upside down because your schedule revolves around a 12-year-old's baseball games. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you know, this guy, he loves it and he's involved and, you know, he doesn't care about the money and the kids playing against the best. But I think that's bullshit because there are good 12-year-olds anywhere you want to play. And a 12-year-old doesn't need to play against the best. And I'll just tell you this. When Reggie Jackson's 12 years old or when Miguel Cabrera is 12 years old, it doesn't matter who he plays against. He is going to be a great baseball player. And when the guy that doesn't make it is 12 years old, because he travels, he's not going to become Miguel Cabrera. He might get a little better, but it just, there's a natural progression that
goes
on.
Yeah, but then if you're that 12-year-old and you're playing against all those, you know, schlubs and you're just dominating, what happens when he gets to high school and plays against real players and he thinks he's awesome? Now he sucks.
Well,
that happens. Should have found out he sucks sooner.
That happens to a lot of people that aren't ready for the next level, whatever the next level is. I mean, people get cut off at every level in sports, and you know the kids that are truly gifted will be great. There are a few kids who will outwork whatever it is their natural progression would be because they work so hard. But those kids are very rare. I mean, it's unusual that a kid who really doesn't have a lot of natural ability will be a scholarship athlete or a professional athlete. And it's it does happen the other way, too, where some guy's got a ton of talent, but he's such a fuckhead that he blows it or he can't stay eligible or whatever. I mean, it happens. It works both ways. But it's rare that a kid who is not truly gifted can reach high levels of a sport. It's just rare. You can travel all over the world and play the best kids when you're 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and it's not going to make a big difference.
Drew, can I change gears with you for a second?
Certainly.
Hey, no, you're supposed to say, change gears with me anytime.
You can switch gears with me anytime.
Switch gears, I'm sorry. Drew, can I switch gears with you? NBC Nightly News has breaking news on here, and I'm kind of questioning the breaking news. And actually, why is it news at all? It's that
appears to be Sully with Mort Krim.
Sully Sullenberger, the pilot that hit the bird, has just basically come out against Boeing and said those pilots need new training on that plane, and they're doing a whole story on it
because Sully said it.
Because Sully said it, the guy that hit the birds.
Well, Tom Hanks played him. Is Tom Hanks speaking out too?
You know what a great pilot would have done? Not hit the birds. That's what I do every day. Not hit birds. And where's my ticket to the Grammys?
They called him America's most trusted pilot. And all I can think of is, it's pretty much the only pilot people know by name, isn't it?
Well, nobody knows a regular. Commercial pilots are not well known.
Exactly. And he shaved his stash, too.
Serious issue, shallow thought. You see the woman behind him.
Oh, does she look like Louis Anderson?
No. But that guy still, to this day.
Are you always looking in the back of shots?
I kind of, yeah. In this instance, this woman had such a deep frown.
Big mistake.
Her entire face was.
Big mistake by Sully to shave that mustache. I don't
know. Yeah, it doesn't look like Sully.
Nobody.
God, Trudy, she is really upset.
You're angry.
That is the resting bitch face to top all resting bitch faces, really? Let me tell you.
Thank God Sully's chimed in.
So will this change things because Sully has spoken out?
Yeah, apparently. Oh, there she is on the other side now, Trudy. She's on the right now.
Oh, she's still
and
pissed.
The frown is just as strong.
No matter where you put her, she's mad.
No, wait a minute. Who didn't think that you should retrain these pilots?
That's my point.
Who
Everyone.
Didn't think that?
But apparently America's most trusted pilot, the guy that hit birds,
he had to come forward.
Needs to comment.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, there's been a lot of hullabaloo over there.
Just get him video games like Bebo.
Well, they acknowledged about a week ago that the plane that went down should not have been in the air.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know.
And killed a couple hundred people. So I think that was probably a message that says, yeah, we probably should learn a little more about this.
In all seriousness, about Sully, don't you expect or think that maybe 95% of pilots in that scenario would have been able to put it down in the Hudson? Or was it really that?
Well, yeah, I feel that way. That because it happened to him. But if it happened to a lot of other people, they would have done the same thing.
They would be
Americans. That's what I'm saying, though. Bebo, he was able to put that plane down, you know, without hurting anybody else. When are we going to get
except for himself.
Well, when are we going to get our Bebo documentary, our Bebo miniseries?
It'll come out soon.
I played video games before.
before, so I, you know, I know what I'm doing a little bit.
Seriously, Bebo.
He used to be America's most trusted pilot.
He was amazing.
Can we hear more Bebo? Seriously, we haven't heard Bebo in a while.
If he could only be at this this hearing.
I would want to hear what he had to say.
He's America's second most trusted pilot because he's only the second pilot anybody can
know.
Nah, everything's peachy. Peachy clean. Just did a little circle around Rainier. It's beautiful. I think I got some gas to go check out the Olympics.
The Olympics.
Holy smokes. I got to stop looking at the fuel because it's going down quick.
Oh, wait, no.
Hey, you think if I land this successfully, Lasco will give me a job as a pilot?
The Barefoot Bandit. The Barefoot Bandit would probably be the second most trusted pilot.
Oh, yeah. He was amazing. Bebo was amazing, too.
Yeah, Bebo did a great job.
Who's the guy on ABC, John, that Clark and I hated?
Nance.
John Nance, who just repeats whatever was said right before by the reporter.
And is always in a leather jacket, no matter where he is.
He'd be the fourth most
trusted
pilot.
Catch him in bed. He's in his leather.
I'm Bebo.
About the autopilot, I'm just kind of hand flying right now.
By the way, is it a law that when a pilot crashes, he has to be declared a hero? Because, you know, the helicopter pilot who hit that building, which brought all this PTSD back about 9/11. Oh, my God, a helicopter. Like they're people are really, are they going to fly helicopters to buildings to terrorize America? Seems like the bubble collapses and it's over and the building doesn't even get hurt.
The building doesn't get hurt.
Anyway, the guy, he crashed on top of the building and his brother, who I think is a pilot too, said, he's a hero. He managed to land it on the top of the building. Well, he didn't land it, but he hit the top of the building. And he implied that, you know, he could have taken out dozens of New Yorkers, pedestrians, or anybody. Actually, with all those tall buildings, wasn't he going to hit a building no matter what almost?
Yeah, yeah.
But wait a sec. He couldn't have, like, landed on the water like Sully?
I don't know.
I flew in on a helicopter.
His brother said he was a hero. Other people said he was flying in areas that he didn't belong.
Well, there's the video. I don't know if you saw
it. It sounded very Pendergastian to me.
Did you see the video of him flying over the water, over the river? Because he was flying really erratic, meaning, I guess, it was some kind of medical, or not medical, but mechanical issue. Oh. So if he's such a hero, why not just put it in the water?
I don't know. People.
I don't know. Do you really want to put a chopper in the water, though? Don't you think?
Well, I don't want to crash landed on top of a building
well,
either.
He died. Any place would have been as good.
Yeah.
And wouldn't have brought back all the PTSD. So calling him a hero, and some people did refute it, which I was surprised. But some people said, nah, he's not a hero because of X, Y, Z. But it reminded me of Pendergast, which, by the way,
jumped out and landed in the water himself.
Did you see the board that Dan Evans sent us, Brandon, of all the old bits?
Okay.
We could end the show.
Okay.
After the outro.
I guess that's a yes.
There's Clark talking about Pendergast. Pendergast is the guy that was way out of range.
Magoo.
And yeah, we kept playing the Magoo music. But the part that kills me is when Mike's imitating Pendergast, nearly hitting the jet.
Yes.
He's like, oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry to all you people.
Yes.
You know, just let me through here.
Yes. Really
bad. And Mrs. Pendergast. We had no idea. We informed her what happened with Pendergast. She had no idea.
Wow.
And I think she said something like, I've been wanting him to get rid of that plane.
Oh, boy.
But it was a pretty good bit. Huh. And Dan sent it to me. Most of what he sent on the board had to do with farts. And I'm starting to think, guys, is that all we did on the air? Maybe those people are right.
Pretty much.
They just fart. That's all they do. But Dan admitted that he liked those bits a lot. But he did include Pendergast and Dustin Diamond, some other things. Oh, the Bieber thing was hilarious. The grandma that got hammered with phone calls because Bieber tweeted out her phone number.
Oh, yeah. What year?
You know what I'm talking about, Brandon?
What year was the Pendergast call? Do you remember?
Pendergast was, I think it was 2012 or 13. It was close to the end. Did you get any more ratings data, Trudy?
No, I didn't.
No? No more data?
No.
Are you walking around like the cock of the walk? It's like cock
can't
the
do
walk.
That in that building. There are too many cocks of the walk in that building.
Where does that come from, the cock of the walk?
I don't know.
Mean?
I assume it's a...
It's a chicken.
A rooster, a chicken.
Yeah.
Is it off the walk?
Yeah. It's the biggest chicken, I guess. you can hit the outro, Brandon.
Chicken.
And if you can't find it, you can't find it. Well, maybe people stayed at the end hoping you find it, so
I mean,
that's good.
I can grab it from the site.
Okay. Mm. I thought it was pretty damn funny. And people do seem to enjoy the Mike Clark additions to the show. Mm-hmm. And Dan sent a whole bunch of stuff. He keeps adding to it, too. And they're I didn't used to enjoy him as much. I always like listening to old stuff, but it's since Mike died, it seems like I trust them a lot more. I don't know why that is, because I usually go, what if this was really good or not? You know, even though someone else declared it was, and I'd listen to it, and I usually go, eh, pretty good. But it seems like now I maybe I'm romanticizing them. I thought Pendergast was pretty funny.
It's all good.
You remember Pendergast, right?
Oh, yeah. God, no. It was hilarious.
Was this?
Remember it well.
Yeah, it was a very Magoo-like pilot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he got a little off course and almost hit a jumbo jet or something.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. Anyway, hey, Trudy, the Nudges.
Yeah, I know.
They do like those treats. But the chicken pot pie treats I have, they are in love with those
things.
Are they?
Oh. But are they still, you know, cutting down? Cause
yes, they are cutting back. I only give them half treats.
Yeah, because I'm only giving them small nudges.
Good.
2009 was when it happened.
Was that 2009?
I found the news story on it, yeah.
At least it was in the last...
Look at that map, Trudy.
Oh, my God.
A lot of turning wow. By that plane.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
It's a bit stunning.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
What if he's still flying?
We can call him.
We should.
I'll track him down if he's alive.
Pendergast! All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Get you ready for the weekend with Gary Graff, hopefully.